the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy,
here's this.
The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
You are the monster witness. Any most amazing, any most astounding living monstrosity of all time.
Yes, it is. Hey, you wanted the best. You got the best. The hottest talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. You want to check us out on our YouTube channel. You want to check us out on our website. Easy to do. Monsters.fm. It's the jump to everything. We're also on iHeartRadio nationwide, and you can hear our podcast from the past couple weeks. Or if you want to get the best of, they got the Monster Prime Cuts. There's also Poking the Bear, which is Ryan Holmes' podcast. There's a To the Top podcast. There's a trivia, all kinds of podcasts. If you want to check it out, it's all on iHeartRadio. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we're going to do this around to 11 o'clock, and then we're out of here. The producer's the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera. To my right, Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never stop, baby.
And Ryan Holmes, the King of Denmark.
Yes.
Here's the telephone number, 407-916-1041. If you want to call us, you can call us when we do open phones a little bit later on, when we do email, when we anytime you want to call us, you can do it. You can text us all morning long. People already texting in the morning. I love that. It's 77031. That's the texting number, 77031. You can save it. You can text all the shows, see who texts you back, who doesn't. And it's brought to you by Sutherland Nissan, OrlandoNissan.com. Also, you can email me, russ@wtcast.com, and I'll email you back sometimes, and then we'll use it on the air sometimes. And if we use it on the air, we'll give you a prize from the prize pinata. We got a bunch of stuff going on today on this beautiful Wednesday, getting ready for a weekend with the Orlando Apollos. That's going to be a lot of fun, of the football game. And doing our thing. That's what we're doing, is our thing.
Is that what we're doing?
I'm trying. Okay. Damn it.
No,
it's
God,
just as easy to roll up that banner as it is to pull the banner down and fluff it up in the corner and put it in the corner.
Oh, my God.
It's just as easy to roll it back up if it falls instead of throwing it in the corner and letting it crumple. Look how wrinkled it is now. It's chapping my ass. I'm sorry. It's just as easy to roll it back up and to put it back where it goes instead of to take it off the hooks and to crumple it in the corner. There. I feel better now.
Oh, man, the 15-minute conversation that we had in here on whether he was going to talk about this or not, and he 1 second into the actual show, you're in. I didn't see the wrinkles, but I can see them on the YouTube camera now.
That's what I'm saying.
Why would you say that to him? Yeah, like, that's not going to drive him even more insane.
It's just as easy just to roll it back up instead of to take it off the hooks and crumple it up in the corner and throw it where it's all in a big crumple pile.
Who do you think did it?
I don't know. He might be bald, but I don't know who did it.
No.
I'm not sure. I'm just saying. Anyway. Yeah. That bald-ass Fritz. It kills me. Some things are like, okay, it's just easy to do it nicely. You know, I mean, just to make it look good. You know, I mean,
yeah.
The banner's been there for, 15 years? It's not like it's a mystery where it goes. But anyway, I got that off my chest.
I have seen that banner fall, though.
It's weird. I don't know how it just falls.
It'll just fall, and I can see it falling behind somebody just randomly and freak them out.
I guess, but you've known it's there forever, right? Over a decade or so. It's been the same. I don't know.
I'm willing to bet you $1 bill that it's not anyone that's on air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm willing to bet you $1 bill because of certain changes that have been done with the building that someone might have knocked it off and didn't think twice.
Oh, you can't knock it off. The hooks go like this. You got to physically take it off.
Under the guise of they thought they were cleaning that back window.
Okay. Well,
No one cleans in here. Your window has been dirty for the whole time. Okay.
That window's dirty as hell.
Jackass, they can't get in between the two panes. Why? Because it's a soundproof room.
Yeah,
how did the middle pane get dirty?
Over time. This room has been built here for how long? 26 years?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I didn't realize there was some old radio smoker that was here at some point.
It's just the accumulation of dust that you can see it there.
That's one of the things on the YouTube channel. They'll be
they dry chaps their ass.
Why don't you wash Angel's window, Russ?
It's two soundproof rooms with four panes of glass. There's no way to do that easily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well then, off that, I got that off my chest. I feel better now.
Do you?
I do.
You look like you feel like you. No. Or you look
I debated.
Like you've let,
I debated with Ryan, you know, because Carlos didn't get here until like 2 seconds before we're ready to go on the air. And I'm sitting here talking to Ryan about it. And I'm like, okay, old Russ would have been raising hell. Old Russ would have been mad about this, but you know what? I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be cool. And then as soon as we started, old Russ came back, which is fine. You know, it's good to have him back every once in a while.
It's a good thing it wasn't, you know, consuming your mind or anything.
Well, it's just as easy. It's just as easy, you know what I'm saying? That's all. But this is here. Good news on a good news plane. So yesterday I told you about, you know, of course I've been talking about I'm making this table, and when I'm making a table, when I'm doing something, it consumes my head, it consumes my mind.
We heard.
And I found out how much it costs for oak, you know, like oak planks, you know, the long planks.
Yeah.
It was like $350, right? I had a listener say, "Listen, I got a bunch of oak that's sitting in my backyard, just sitting there. If you want it, you can have it." And I'm like, "Well, let me take a look at it. Look at that. Beautiful, like beautiful oak. They're 10 foot long, so I got to cut them down. Oak."
I feel like you and I use the word beautiful very differently right now.
Why?
Because you see beautiful wood, I see old, rained-on, nasty planks.
Oh, my God,
that's what you want,
though. That's called character,
yeah,
Ryan Holmes.
You want it to have some character. You want it to have, you know, you like character wood.
That doesn't have character. That has termites.
No. Listen, I get to pick out whatever pieces I want. And it's got
lucky you. Get the bell of the ball of the dirt wood.
It's got character, man. When you're building an old, like, I want it to look like it's an old country kitchen, you know, a table, right?
It's going to look like a burned down country kitchen.
No, you can't see that and see the beauty in that, Ryan Holmes.
No, I see an old wood pile.
But if you look at all the ones that, the pictures that he's shown us of these country tables, they all looked a little bit beat up. Yeah. They all look a little weathered and worn. That's part of the mystique of it.
Is great.
It's part of the charm, man. That's what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, but you know, you buff it out. You know, you buff your wood out. It's going to look great.
I might not even have to.
I buffed my wood and it was gray, I'd freak out.
I don't think I'm going to have to beat it with a chain. I think it's gonna be just fine like that because it's a little bit weathered. And Ryan, you understand? I'm going to put stain on it, right? To stain it a little darker.
Oh, okay. So you're going to make it uglier.
Yeah. You got to ugly it up even more. But, I mean, these he said they've been sitting out there for years. That's perfect.
Decades, probably.
No, not decades. Just a little bit. But I think it's going to be good. Carlos, what do you think?
I like them. They look like an old country table type of wood.
I mean, that's what you'd use, right?
I mean, that's what you'd be looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly what you're looking for.
I found out on YouTube. He said, come get them.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's fascinating to me the things that, like, where you draw the line. $350 for some wood, some good wood from a nice establishment, local businessman. That's just out of your realm of comprehension. But you'll go kick down $350 for a Ryobi whatever and not even balk at it.
Okay.
You know? You'll kick down $150 for an Invicta watch off of eBay. And you're not even sure if it's a 100% Invicta watch.
Yes.
It's fascinating to watch you work.
Well, you make very good points. I found some metal legs on the internet that I could use in order to, like, just buy the legs and put them on the table. And that was like $350 just for the legs. But I put it up on Facebook, and like everybody was like, "Don't use metal legs; it look like crap. It's cheating."
That's not true. I just saw a bunch of really cool modern wood metal, some tables and some coffee table. It was really cool.
And you thought it looked good?
Looked awesome. It was at a party we went to recently. My wife went over, was like, "This is so cool."
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So it's, I mean, you got to do it the right way, I guess, but. That distinction between the wood and the metal is really cool.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I could paint it black. But let me show you. Here's what I found. Okay, so this I found if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see what I'm talking about here. Hold on, let's see if I can find the photo. Where's the photo? Damn it. Okay, so like that.
Yeah, that's fine.
What do you think, Ryan Holmes?
I don't know. Now that you showed me the other ones yesterday that had wooden legs, I do think metal legs would be cheating. Unless you go like old rusty metal to match your really gross wood.
I'm not going rusty metal. I would go black metal, but the legs are $350. Like, everything's $350 with this table. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you are a sucker, and you are getting taken. By the time you're done, this table's going to be $3,000, and you're going to be just pulling your hair out.
As long as it's under $1,700, I think I'm doing good. But anyway,
we got to factor in what your time costs.
My time, you know, whatever.
Yeah, your time is something you can't get back. It's your most valuable commodity. So if you're throwing in a lot of work into this and $1,700.
I will tell you what it was.
Are you trying to get this knocked out in a weekend?
No, it was the challenge that my wife gave me. Because when I said, I don't know if I can make a table. And then she politely said, okay, well, I'll find someone else to make it. As soon as she said that,
oh,
I was like, oh,
that
hell.
Was the challenge.
You guys have a weird bedroom routine.
What?
Yeah, make me a table. Okay, make you a table. Oh, you can't make me a table? Okay, I'll make you a table. Like, it's the weirdest cuckolding situation I've ever heard of.
No, it wasn't like that. She just said she's always dreamed of someone making her a table that she could pass down.
Every little girl's dream. Someone makes her a table.
An old country table, right? That's what I thought. I'm like, well, I can't make a table. I'm not a table. I'm not a wood maker, you know? And she's like, oh, fine. I'll find someone to make it. As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, hell. It's on. It's a challenge. Have you ever done anything like that? Have any of you guys ever taken anything on that you didn't know how to do, but you're going to learn to do it just because you were challenged?
I learned how to turn wrenches on a 79 Pontiac Formula. Uh-huh. I didn't know how to do. I mean, I knew how to like change oil. I knew how to put air in the tire, that kind of thing. I had to rebuild this engine from the heads up, and I literally took a. The Chilton Motor Book, you remember those that you would get? And it would basically be about a 2-inch thick book, and it basically had told you how to take apart your car.
Right.
They had them for all these cars. So I went, bought one of those, and basically learned how to turn wrenches using one of those. I had a buddy of mine who had a little bit of knowledge, and he helped me out. And it was because I was like, I think I can do this.
Right, right.
You know, and that's how I taught myself how to do that.
How did you teach yourself? Did you go?
No, it was literally, I'm going step by step. With the book, you know? And if it wasn't in the book, you'd find yourself in a pickle kind of thing. Like, okay, how am I supposed to know this, you know?
Well, here we are in the 2019, and I was on YouTube yesterday. And you go to YouTube, and you type in old country table. There's 5,000 guys that will show you exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
And I know that this is just one little example. I know there's a bunch of different things. How about you, Ryan? Anything that you've learned to do, like off of YouTube, that came out either well or did not come out well?
Because I'm cheap, anytime something initially breaks, I try to see if I can fix it myself. And to varying degrees of success.
Give me an example. What's something?
Like the other day, my AC broke.
Yeah.
And it was, it happened to be like a fuse or something that I could get to myself. So through like several YouTube videos, I fixed my own AC, sort of.
Oh, okay.
So I was happy about that. I replaced, the window in my old 2006 Hyundai Santa Fe because I'm a Santa Fe man. Just by watching it on YouTube. But what I did not do for that was I did not, store the parts correctly to put it all back on. So I just had a door, my driver's side door, the whole panel was off.
Yeah.
Just for the rest of the time I owned the car.
So
that was fine. But I fixed the window.
But you fixed the window, yeah.
Actually, I just did this recently, again, with my kid. She got a Nintendo Switch for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so she left it on, and it kind of went into this, like, frozen kind of screen thing. And we're both freaking out, and I had to actually go to YouTube and type in the words dark screen on Nintendo Switch, and it's basically just an easy reset.
Yeah.
But, like...
I had to watch it.
I went to YouTube to that instead of the owner's manual or the box or anything else.
Carlos, you ever learn anything off of YouTube that you
edited? Yeah, all the time. I mean, every day.
Good example. What's a good example?
Just did one with an IKEA furniture part that trying to clip in. And I was like, what is the issue with this? And I typed into YouTube. I was like, how to put together this Maligan thing. There's five videos
that
specific part. It used to surprise me, you know, before, but now it's literally where I go to for information. So it doesn't surprise me because that's how people make their living now. Making a channel all on old country tables, you know? So from that to putting up ceiling fans to...
Like everything is up there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of it, yeah.
I tell you what I did learn by going to all these different YouTube channels is a lot of people do just make it with pine, the stuff that you get from Home Depot. I know we were saying, oh, no, it's got to be oak. No, most of the people use pine wood, and when they put some hardener on it or whatever and then put the stain... So, you know, you don't have to use oak, but if I have oak, might as well do it.
Well, you've got access to all this free, top-quality wood ready to go.
It is top-quality. I'm telling you, Ryan, when you see this, when it's all done, you're going to say, you know what, Russ, you were right.
You bring up a good point in this, and this is what the problem with sometimes with YouTube, and it's because anybody can post anything.
Yeah.
So, like... Yeah, I'm sure you found 100 people that used pine to make this table.
And it looks great.
And it looks great, right?
Yeah.
But if you go to a craftsman, you go to a guy that does this for a living, and uses these products, he's going to tell you, by and large, if you're making a family heirloom, something that's going to stay in your family, that you're going to do all these things.
You're correct.
You're going to want to use this because this is the best type of wood. And sometimes what happens is... And this is what's frustrating, in particular for like mechanics and guys that do this for a living. I'm sure you can go and find how to fix anything on YouTube. And But more times than not, mechanics or woodsmen or any of these guys laugh because at some point, you're going to get yourself to a point where you can't fix it. And then you got to go back to them to fix that. You know what I mean? And that's the one kind of, like, you got to almost verify the guys that you follow or the information that you get on YouTube.
Do you guys know what a plane, not an airplane, but a plane, you know, like for wood, you know what a plane is?
Yeah, it's one of these simple machines that you just take across the, to shave it down.
Exactly. What do you do that for?
To level it?
That's what I thought, but that's wrong. What do you think? Why do you think you use a plane, Angel?
Just to give you a good new surface.
No, Carlos.
What do you mean plane? A
plane. It looks like it's got a knob on it, and it's a long thing, and it's got a blade at the bottom, and it's a plane. Like if you plane a door, or it's a plane, and there's a reason why you have to plane the wood.
I don't even know what that is, so I have no clue.
Oh man,
I think
you've seen it before.
Like, like a sander kind of deal.
Kind of like a sander, but it's basically what it is. You use it so you don't get splinters.
Yeah,
and if you don't
to smooth it out,
Yeah, so if you don't do that, you'll have a bunch of splinters. I mean, I learned everything I need to know about making a table now.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just ready to go.
I can't wait to see this.
Are you gonna make the chairs? Or are you buying chairs?
Hell no, I'm buying those. That's too much work. All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. By the texting service checking in at 77031. We appreciate the text. This is a very good point. If wood has been sitting outside for a long time, it's probably retaining water, so I have to let it dry out.
Would have never thought of that.
I know. There's so much into this that I never knew about.
That's cool.
But thank you for the text at 77031. That's 77031. I'm learning a lot about building a stupid table. Yeah.
Question, and this is coming from the texting and callers.
Yeah.
Is this just an excuse for you to be able to buy all the cool wood tools that you're going to need?
Yes. Are you finding all this new stuff? I already ordered the sander, the battery operated, you know, sander from Ryobi, and someone's saying Ryobi has a planer, an electric planer that's battery operated that I can get the planer.
A lot of everyone that we had a couple calls during the break and everything, and they were basically wanting me to give you a heads up. Hey, make sure, does he have all the tools? Look for them. This is a good excuse to buy tools.
I know. And there's another guy. Hey Russ, why do I feel like Russ is channeling his inner Jim Phillips? Jim retires and Russ becomes old man project guy. Listen, my wife asked me to do it, and I initially said no. And then when she doesn't ask me for anything. She's like a saint. She doesn't ask for anything. So she quietly went, okay, I'll get someone else to make it. And as soon as she said that, the challenge was on. I was like, I'll do it. Don't you worry. So now I've been studying. And there's so many people. It's so weird. There are all these little facets of life, things in life that you don't realize people are into. And who knew there was a whole 500 videos dedicated to just making a wooden kitchen country table. I had no idea. And so many listeners are like, I've made one. I got a buddy. We know Rodney the Gator Hunter yesterday called. And then Shelvin, who's a friend of his, he makes his own tables. And he's sending me pictures and stuff. And he's got friends that make their own tables, and I'm like, I did not know this was a thing. You know, it seemed like it was something that I don't know.
I have a buddy of mine. His name's Bradley. He's a bartender at the lodge. He started doing this side hustle of making bar furniture out of wood, and it's just a craft that he had. He developed it from his father and in high school, college, whatever.
Yeah.
And now, because of the quality of the work that of the furniture that he makes for the different bars in downtown Orlando,
right?
He's like, that's almost becoming his main gig. Huh. You know what I mean? He's making, because the stuff that he's making is really cool, and you've seen it, and if you've been in Burton's or the Lodge or any one of
the Lodge,
there's stuff that he's making for these bars all around downtown Orlando, and it's like, I never even knew that he had that skill set, and it's fun to watch him, you know, post it on Instagram and things, the different projects that he's on. It's a neat thing.
I knew a girl in high school, and her dad is the one that did all of the woodwork inside of Cherokee, or what's it called now? Right across from Harry Buffalo, the
Cheyenne Saloon.
Cheyenne Saloon. Yeah. He did all the woodworking inside the Cheyenne Saloon, and
that guy. I think it's the same guy. That guy also, when he went, if it's the same guy I'm thinking of, he went to Puerto Rico and he did all the woodwork in the Hard Rock in Puerto Rico.
Same guy.
He took a piece of wood. This is one of the coolest things I got as an intern when I was on the file.
Yeah.
And he made me a writing pen, mm-hmm. a real cool custom pen from the banister from the Hard Rock in Puerto Rico, and he gave that to me as a gift.
That's so cool.
I still have that thing. That's, yeah.
His daughter went to Edgewater High School with me. And
it's got to be the same guy.
Yeah. And he did all that.
Man, what was that guy saying?
Kind of famous for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Woodworking, one of those things you don't. And then that was a class you could take in like junior high school that I remember. I'm like, oh, why would you take woodworking? That's stupid.
The only thing I ever was able to make in that class was a Pinewood Derby car. That's about as far as my extent goes with making anything.
Well, I'll tell you what freaked me out is when I was going. I went to Lockhart Junior High School, and when I was going there, the wood shop teacher, cut his thumb off. And I'm like, well, that guy's gonna cut his thumb off. Oh my God, I'll kill myself. And I think that scared me from it at the time. Hey, so what do you think? What local city do you think is going to be the first to have autonomous buses? Buses without people driving. Which one do you think it is? If you had a guess, what
and
local?
It's not Disney.
It's not Disney. No.
Okay.
Ryan Holmes, we think local city. The first
local
one.
Local city.
Local city. The first one.
Mount Dora.
Mount Dora. Not a bad guess. Not. It's not Mount Ooh. Dora. Carlos, what do you think?
Winter Garden.
Winter Garden? No.
Is it close? Is it really close to us?
It's known for being kind of progressive, and it's a new kind of a city.
Celebration.
In that area, Lake Nona.
Oh, Lake Nona, yeah.
Lake Nona.
Dude, Lake Nona is crazy. Have you been out there lately?
I have not.
It is insane. So they have the whole, and I'm not kidding, they have the whole medical city. It used to be cowfields out there.
Right.
It's a whole other, they've built this thing, and you're driving, what's that, the 517, 417 that keeps going down south?
Yeah.
And it turns into, it's 417 all the way down, right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, yeah, they've built this thing out there. It's crazy.
These are like the beep mobiles. They're called beep mobiles, and there's nobody driving it. You just get on the bus, and it takes you to where you got to go. And they're the first city here in Central Florida to have them. If you look at them, they're pretty cool looking, but it looks like the future. It looks like
something.
I wouldn't
be surprised that that's the place because of all the, you got the Veterans Hospital out there, all that whole city. They got the infrastructure built there for it.
How fast do you think the autonomous bus goes, if you had to guess?
Probably goes up to 45-50.
No, not that fast.
Oh, so it's slow bus. Yeah. 25 miles an hour.
25 slower than that. What do you think, Angel?
15?
Yeah, it goes 16 miles per hour. That's the top speed. So they're not worried about
speed
accidents that much, because the speed is not going to be there.
Getting on a 16 mile an hour robot bus.
How many people do you think are going to get
the worst version of speed ever.
How many people are going to get on the robot bus to go 16 miles per hour? If you had to guess, what will it seat?
Well, now that you've lowered my expectations in terms of speed, I'm going to go 3.5 people to get on that bus.
More than three.
10 to 15 people at a time?
15. Actually, it says 15 people can fit at one time. Only 11 can sit down. The others have to stand up.
On a 16-mile-an-hour beep bus?
It's the beep-mobile.
I'm not getting on a beep-mobile.
But you gotta, I bet you, if you go out there and see how this place is all laid out and everything, it looks like what you would do with when you were a kid and build your little fake cities.
Yeah.
This is what that looks like. And
it's all electric.
That technology, it's basically they're going to paint a strip down the road, and this thing's it's similar to what we do at the rides at Universal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, man, I'm telling you, 3 million people in this country, I think, are drivers. Overall. It's the number one job in the world, right?
Right.
The first to go with autonomous drivers and AI is going to be buses.
Yeah.
And over-the-road semi-truckers.
Yeah.
And I know that scares a lot of truckers who listen to the show, but don't be scared about it. Invest in whatever technology, because it is here.
Yeah,
it is not coming. It is here. And this is just a little taste of how quickly it happens. Go, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, what happened to all the bus drivers?
This morning, Elon Musk was on, he said by the end of this year, he will be rolling out a bunch of autonomous cars, and they're going to be here this year.
And they've already tested it. It's 98.6% sure for majority of stuff. They needed to be 99%, but the first ones are over-the-road truckers. That's the first ones that they're going in to replace, because it'll be called, I think, in-cab drivers, where there'll be a base, and people will be sitting there watching, and they will tune in. Hey, well, how's that truck in Phoenix doing? Let me go look.
Yeah.
How's that truck in Hawaii doing? Let me go look. And there's a lot of truckers that they've already spoken with. They're like, hey, we're going to start riots. I'm dead serious.
We're going to attack the...
listen, that's what happened in the Industrial Revolution.
Thank you very much. Yeah. In the Industrial Revolution, there was fights, there was riots. People, and they want to stop this stuff, but it is here, man. It is here. And woodworking, that is a great thing to get into right now.
Why do you say?
I'll tell you right now, because that is a job that autonomy is not going to take over unless for your everyday cabinets or whatever. But it is a craft that there's no robot in the world that could make that table right now that you're doing.
I don't know. I think you could just throw the wood in there and it would spit it out, the parts, and then and then some other robot could put it together. I think that could be easily done.
It would be a huge, like, there's a difference between a machine-made, factory-made product and something that is made by artistic, right?
Yeah.
So anything to do with that, with hands, be a plumber, man. Plumbers are not going to be replaced soon.
You don't think?
Be an electrician. They're not going to be replaced soon. There are scientists and research groups around the world that are trying to build a plumber robot, and they cannot do it.
Huh.
They literally cannot do it.
Is that because, though, a plumber robot cannot adapt to the plumbing we've already done, but if they made new plumbing that was for the robot, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, all new plumbing will be like this because our robot could fix it.
You're right, and that is maybe way down the future, but just to unclog a toilet right now, if you needed a plumber, they're trying to figure out a robot that can just get out of a car, go to an apartment complex,
go up
three stairs. So plumbing, all the jobs that people quote unquote may look down on, and because they want to be a lawyer or they want to be, are the jobs we should be, all the micro jobs. Dirty jobs. If you want to keep your job, go look at dirty jobs.
Right.
And all of those jobs are going to be not only safe, but highly, highly paid.
So when you hear
in 2020,
when you hear that, you know, there are autonomous buses in Lake Nona, but then when you hear they go 16 miles per hour.
That's pretty fast, man. It's most buses. You think 15, 16 miles per hour. The fastest human is 30 miles per hour. Usain Bolt, right? And so you're going a pretty decent speed. It can go whatever the hell you want it to. It's just what they calibrate.
The shuttle's out of Disney. How fast do you think the shuttle bus from your car to Disney?
That's faster, but think about what we're talking about. These little buses that they're going to have, these little beep cars, they're going to be in traffic. You got pedestrians. You're in a medical city. You're doing all these things.
Right.
So they're shuttling people from building to building, and there's other things going around. The buses at Disney, they've got their own lanes. They're kind of away from people, so they can move a little bit quicker. That's why they're keeping it at 15 or 16 miles an hour. It's faster than walking.
Hey, I want to admit, someone on the texting server says, dude, you need to look up the word autonomous. Autonomous means it'll be driven around by a self-governed circuit board. So autonomous is different than a car that just drives by itself,
right? No, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing?
It's the same exact autonomy. Yeah, it's being run by a circuit board. But yeah, that autonomy could be a bunch of different things. Most of the stuff that we get are autonomously made.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? Made by computers, algorithms, whatever the hell it is.
I hate to tell you, but autonomy is actually a circuit board.
Now
you know how it feels.
Are you texting?
I text in the show while I sit here the whole time.
Holy crap.
All I know is in Lake Nona, there's going to be buses that fit 16 people. No, 11 people. All right? No. How about I say it was 11 people, 16
15,
miles per hour.
15, 11 of them can stand.
And this is how they test it. And then the next one, okay, watch. And
it's downtown Orlando.
Yeah, and downtown Orlando. And when bus crashes and accidents begin to fall at a rate they've never seen before, do you think corporations are going to go, I think we should invest in more humans? Or are they going to invest in autonomy? It's already what they've said and done. That's what I'm saying. Get ahead of it, guys and ladies.
The third generation of the bus that you get in and the bus murders you because the robots are taking over.
Texting service saying, hey, coming from an electrician, I love what you're thinking, Carlos.
Hey, I'm dead serious. I know.
Plumbers crack on a robot. Ha, ha, ha.
You know, I know it's so almost ironic
that
the safest jobs in the world will be those that have the least tech, right? Because lawyers... Guess what? If you have a lawyer, you're a lawyer, your job is mostly reading papers and going over things.
Yeah.
And AI can do that a million times better than any human ever could. So plumbers, construction, you know what's really big? Healthcare. If you want to go and take care of people, you are a nurse, you want to be a doctor, these things are going to be huge in this new world that we're in. If you don't believe me, the new presidential candidate, Yang 2020, is a guy that breaks this down at a much higher level because his job for the government was to teach people how to learn, like from a trucker to science.
Yeah.
and he sees where things are going.
I wonder when we're going to see a lot more electrical plug-ins for cars that are or electric cars. You know what I'm saying? Because that's one of the things when you think, or like when I think about getting an electric car, I'm like, man, it would just suck if you were running out of power and you had nowhere to plug in. That kind of makes you know.
But that's kind of a misnomer because if you actually, if you had one of those cars, you would be aware of where they're all at. They're actually more than you realize. But since you don't have to use it on a day-to-day basis, we don't pay attention to them.
And I block every one of them with my Chevy Silverado.
Hell yeah. I thought it'd be like Wi-Fi rust, like things like that, where like before you got on the internet, you didn't realize, oh, who has Wi-Fi or whatever. And then all of a sudden you got in front of like, oh, they have Wi-Fi. Oh,
everybody's got Wi-Fi, So. All right, you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Nobody else is going to put up with your nonsense.
Call now, toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
Money. Everybody needs it. Everybody tries to make some money. And when you have money, you don't want to throw. This coming weekend, it's the Orlando Apollos taking on the Memphis Express. We will be there. Join us. They're saying it's mission number 3 against the Memphis Express. We've won 2 games. Hopefully we'll win this game. It's this coming weekend. Get your tickets by going to monstersendzone.com. That's monstersendzone.com. Well, coming up today, Ryan Holmes. Hello, Ryan Holmes. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ Rollins. How are you doing?
Why does this feel like...
Well, we've had some celebrities in here in the past, and we interview celebrities. Of course, I've been doing it for a long time. Carlos has been, so is Angel, and but Ryan, kind of new at it, and yeah. The couple questions. What were the couple questions he asked to a celebrity? And it was just one of those. Hey, remember when you did this? Well, who was it?
Ryan has this incredible knack. We're having these cool conversations, and then he does the question that kind of. Basically, he puts the e-brake on the interview.
Because
it gets like he'll
go. He asks a question that's not a question. It's just like, do you remember when this happened? Kind of a thing. you've done that before. Well, today.
I asked Neil Armstrong's son if the death of his brother affected his life.
Death of his daughter.
Was that a big deal?
And then you tend to get really meta with the comics that come in here. Yeah. And instead of keeping it up here, you go really like deep dive with your questions with the comics.
So, on the success of all of those interview questions he's had, today. Ryan Holmes has an opportunity to talk to 2 legends. Now, I'm busy today. I've got stuff I got to do with the house. I'm sure Carlos is busy. Angel's got stuff to do. And so the only time we can do this interview is at 1 or 2 o'clock, I think. And the only one available to do it is Ryan Holmes. And Ryan Holmes has the ability to talk to Steve Martin and Martin Short today.
In a one-on-two interview.
So two of the 3 amigos, Ryan Holmes by himself, who's really never done an interview with a celebrity, is talking to two of the biggest comedians really in the past 30, 40 years.
And it gets better than that because there is a time limit on this. Like there's like he, it's not like he's been given an hour with them.
How much time?
He needs to get in and get out.
Yeah, 7 minutes.
He's got
7 or 8 minutes.
He's got 8 minutes with him.
Well, that's easy. When I had is it Kurt Cameron? No. What was the
Steve?
No.
Candace Cameron.
What's the Cameron that does all the movies?
James Cameron.
When I had James Cameron, it was like 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I got to have enough questions for 20 minutes. Which actually ended up being fine. But it was one of those interviews where you go into, it wasn't live on the air. It was in a studio kind of a thing. So you're going to do that. It'll be you in a room by yourself talking to Steve Martin and Martin Short. And they'll be on the phone together.
With only a quick rundown on how to actually operate the studio and the phone calls and everything else. So I see this going really well.
Oh, this is going to be great. What are you talking about?
So have you already thought about questions you're going to ask the great Steve Martin and Martin Short?
Yeah, of course I have thought of questions and things I'm going to ask Steve Martin and
Martin
Short.
What's the first question? What's the most important question? Really what you want to ask him? The most important thing?
Where's Chevy Chase?
They love that.
Oh, honestly, they're gonna love that.
They love talking Chevy. That's the number one thing Steve Martin and Martin Short. Actually, all other comedians love talking about, you know, the comedians that were dicks.
Obviously, you're the three amigos, so obviously the amigos hang out all the time. Where's the third amigo? That's a good question.
Ryan, you better not shock jock this.
I'm not going to shock jock it. That's a real question. Like, hey, you guys are the two amigos. How come you don't have Chevy Chase in your live show?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, write that one down.
And then ask him to perform one of the songs from Three Amigos live. Like, can you do one of them songs? You could probably ask him.
I was going to ask if they could do a bit with me.
Yeah.
Can you sing a little King Tut for me, Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like the classic stuff, like because between the two of them, I think they'd been in something like 90 movies.
Yeah,
I was gonna ask some questions about the Jerk.
Yeah,
yeah. What are you gonna ask?
I was gonna ask him why has he never dyed his hair.
There you go.
Okay,
that's a good one.
I was gonna, and then I was just gonna let it wing it from there, sort of. You know,
just one comic to another. Let me ask you a question. How come you never dyed your hair?
I was gonna do my impression of Martin Short. Short.
Oh, how's that?
Where do Jiminy Glick?
And then he comes
up here, but then he comes back down here.
Just do the King of Denmark. No. Just do the King of Denmark is Jiminy Glick. Just do the
whole interview that way.
Yeah.
Oh, I should do it as the King of Denmark.
You should say that you have a bit called the King of Denmark that was inspired by, and then you do your King of Denmark voice.
Show them
then,
your bit.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Take time in the interview that they're calling you to talk about their performance. You take time.
I'm a stand-up comedian.
To show them your bit. Yeah. They might ask you to come perform with them. You never know.
I was going to ask that.
You need an opener.
Hey,
Steve, you need an opener.
Like, they're doing a charity show, so they're like, I just come in, warm it up, local guy. Like, that's not weird to ask, right?
You get some hits on, you know, social media.
And make sure you tell them out of the two of them who you like better.
Oh, can I ask them?
That's good.
Can I ask them if they would follow me on Instagram?
Sure.
Totally.
That's a good idea.
I think they will, considering neither of them are on Instagram.
You could ask them about social media. Yeah.
Yeah, like I have questions like how do they, like a real question I have is like how do they find their references for today? Because they're old.
Oh, that's a good thing to bring up.
That's a good thing to bring up.
Being old, that's how you start it. Being old, dude.
being
so old, whichever one of those.
So, like, how do you stay connected?
Yeah, how do you say, because Martin Short's 68, Steve Martin's 72.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Man.
He looks good for 72.
But he's always looked 72.
Yeah, he has.
Tell him that.
That's the thing I'm going to say. Does it help you always looking old since you were like 30 to now where you just sort of look the same?
When this is done, will it be up on the podcast? Is that what it's going to be?
It'll be its own separate podcast.
We have to play it.
Yeah, we're going to play the interview on the air.
Oh,
yeah.
We have to play it on our show.
Yeah, because they're coming in, because they're doing a charity thing.
Oh, Christ.
And the charity itself is coming in on Friday.
Do the whole interview and don't even ask them about the charity.
For me, I love Steve Martin. Like, I'm a huge Steve Martin fan.
Are you going to tell him that right off the bat?
Yes.
So you'll ignore Martin Short, but you'll tell Steve Martin.
That's the thing. You know, I don't have any questions for Martin Short.
You need to have questions for Martin Short. He's a genius as well. I know you're not as a fan of his, but, I mean, he's done a lot. You need to look up Martin Short. Three Amigos, he had some of the best lines.
No, Chevy Chase was the best amigo, and I want to talk to him about that.
You should.
But Martin Short, for me, he's just like cameo roles in my life.
Cameo.
Like, because I remember him in Father of the Bride.
Yeah, with Steve Martin.
Funny part. I remember him in SNL, but, like, I've never sought out Martin Short.
People think he's a scene stealer. Like, he's not the star, but he'll steal the scene, you know?
Yeah, he's obviously a very talented dude, and I'm going to have about 30 minutes to figure out all about Martin Short before this interview, between the show and the interview time.
Now, let me ask a question. The very first time I talked to someone that I really was a fan of, you know, I was a little nervous. I mean, you know, a little nervous.
Don't put that in my head, man.
How nervous are you to talk to someone and you'll be by yourself? It's not like you'll have us to lean on to bail you out if you start asking stupid questions. You're just on your own. How nervous? How your heart, is it beating, like, even now, thinking about 1 o'clock today?
Well, it wasn't.
He gets awkward meeting new people at a meet and greet.
I know.
But I don't. I could interview people.
He got awkward at Slow and Low Barbecue. I mean, how are you going to say, ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us right now is Steve Martin and Martin Short. Like, you're going to do it that way? Or are you going to say, hey, Steve Martin?
I have to do an intro?
Like, yes.
You're not going to do just a cold interview.
Yeah.
I'm just going to answer the phone. Like, I'm going to say, what's up, Steve? What's up, Martin? Like, I can call them by their first names, right?
What's up, Steve?
Totally.
What's up, Martin?
Yeah.
I don't have, what, I got to call him Mr. Martin?
Hell no, you don't. Just say Steve and Martin. Are you kidding me?
Steve
they're not,
and Martin.
They're not freaking priests and dignitaries, you know, ambassadors of goodwill. They're freaking comedians.
I'm a comedian. They're a comedian.
I get to call, they put their pants on the same way you put your pants on.
Exactly. But I do put my pants on both legs at a time. That always bothered me by that phrase. But anyways, I sit on my bed and pull up.
Dude, oh, both, well, you don't put your pants on the same way
you
do.
You probably right? sit down and pee.
I mean, if I'm tired.
Well, you know, think about it. You know, make sure you think about it a lot before you do it.
I think I can really wing this.
You think
and
so?
And I think you guys will be really impressed by my overall interviewing skills.
Oh, you know he's going to do that voice that he does.
Yeah.
No, promote the Real Radio Monsters YouTube.
Can you yeah.
That's right. You can check us out on YouTube live.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's going to go in this.
Join us in the chat room all day long. Hey, Steve. Hey, hey, Steve Martin. Hey, Martin Short.
Hey, how you doing?
Ryan Holmes with the Monsters in the Morning. Hey. Great to talk to you. Hey. Steve Martin, why have you never dyed your hair?
Don't sound like a cheesy DJ, man.
That's what it'll
just
be.
Talk normal.
You're going to go into that, and you're going to end it. You're going to go, I'm glad I didn't go into that DJ voice. You're going to listen and be like, my God, I did the whole time.
And you'll be thinking about it the entire time.
Hey, Steve.
Steve, is this your first time in Orlando?
Oh, God. Why am I cringing already?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so glad you're doing this.
I think it's going to be great. It'll be I see no downside.
We'll play it tomorrow on the air, and we can critique your interview skills.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
I'm down, but I think, again, total confidence in this. Like, I'm very excited about this.
You should be. It's fun. Yeah, it's cool.
No, what's even funnier is that there are two stations that are counting on him to pulling off a great interview.
Ooh. Wait, because there's two?
They're going to play it on other stations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was part of the meeting yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
Was I the only one listening?
Yeah, they're going to take your interview and play it in other places.
Yeah.
So it's not just the Real Radio listeners that will be forgiving because you're a dork. It's other people that won't be forgiving because you're supposed to be professional.
So in your intro, you probably should say, this is Ryan Holmes from iHeartMedia, or this is Ryan Holmes from, and mention both stations.
You also got to say the Monsters of the Morning.
You have to get that in there.
How are you going to end it? How are you going to end it? Like, you have a tight, like, everybody knows.
You got to wrap it up nice.
They are looking for a tight outro for them to switch. So it's like, before you talk to the
interview. That's when I was going to ask if I could be on the show.
Yes, you should. Do that.
That's it.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, well, thank you guys so much for calling in and talking to us. Hey, by the way, I'm a stand-up comedian. I would love to do a tight five right before you guys go on.
A tight five?
It shows respect. Like, I'm not going to push it.
That's comedy talk, huh?
Exactly. I think they'll respect that.
Tight five in the porn world? Whole different thing.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Waiting for all your insights, not fit for radio broadcast. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando. From
Hey, thanks for listening to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. You can check out our website. Matter of fact, for this next segment, you might want to check out our website at monsters.fm. I wake up in the morning about 3:30, start listening to the news, and as I'm listening to the news, there is a story about something that's gone, they said, gone viral. And a part of the story was, this has gotten over 1 million views just in a couple hours. And I like, okay, well, I can pull that, and I could do that whole thing with, hey, is this racist or not? Because it's this woman in West Virginia, and she is at a Mexican restaurant, and the person that comes up to serve is speaking Spanish, they said she says a lot of things that are inappropriate. I'm like, oh, let me go, you know, I'll pull it, and I could do this whole, you know, is she racist or not? When you hear it, there's no question that it's racist. That part is not the question. So the question, I turned it into more of like, what would you do if you were there? Now, you can't play it, Angel, because she uses the F word so much that it's just, you know, you couldn't beep it out enough. I don't believe. It's a nasty, West Virginia woman. And she's at a restaurant, it's a Mexican restaurant. And she start, you know, the guy comes up and he's speaking, I mean, it's just something in Spanish, I don't know what it was, and she just starts going off about, you know, you go back to your own country, and you're in America, you need to, you know, it's the same thing you've heard from, you know, people before, you know, you're in America, you need to speak American, you know, go, she starts, F you, and you know, go back to your country and all this. Now, the interesting part is that there's somebody that is filming it, and they're like sideways filming the thing, and there are people that are standing around, and they're not saying anything. They're just letting this woman just go off and just yell at this. I think he's the manager of the Mexican restaurant. It's on our website right now. I put a warning, and I said, warning, not safe for little ears, because if your kids are listening or whatever, it's probably not a good thing to, because she's letting the F-bomb fly. But, I mean, I know most of us would probably have said something to her, but or would you? I mean, if you're in a restaurant like that and a woman is being totally, I mean, just rude and nasty and disrespectful, would you say something to her or not?
In 2 seconds.
Yeah.
In 2 seconds. I mean, I'm because I think I'm probably on what would you do with Carlos Quiñones. You know, with situations like that, when it's like so blatant.
No, you're right.
So I've seen those where I'm like, I've looked around a room and been like, am I on this show? Because this seems so blatantly, and it's not racist. Hispanic people are not a race, so it's a bigot. So I'm like, is she a bigot? Like, is this the worst bigot in the world?
Well, that's funny. On the national news,
they always mess that up.
They said racist.
They always mess that up. They say racism. They say, and it's always with a Hispanic. No, it's more bigotry or another term, but we are not a race. Oh. I am Caucasian. Angel is Caucasian.
Gotcha.
But he is of Hispanic descent. So, so you know, it's.
I even put it in my title as a nasty West Virginia racist lady in the restaurant.
Well, I think
because she's. I mean, she's just yelling at this guy, and she's like, "Go back to your own country."
Right.
She's as gross as she can be.
And she's not like at a Taco Bell either, like some version of like an American. That's not a Chipotle, a Taco Bell. This is like a your standard Mexican amigos style restaurant.
Yeah, and what do you expect for the? I mean, so he speaks Spanish. So what? But she's here in America. You need to speak American.
They're in West Virginia, man. There are like 11 Hispanic people in West Virginia,
in a Mexican restaurant.
No, and that's all it is. It's just a stupid old bigot that's never been around Hispanic people and mad at life and mad at and watching TV and listening to our president rail how we have a national emergency at the border. And this is what you get. You get people that are so upset at their own life that they have to take it out on a Mexican waiter.
Now, there is someone that does get involved. If you look at the end, there is that a man or a woman that gets involved who's like telling her to hush up? But it's crazy that they're just sitting there filming it. What would you, Ryan Holm, what would you do if you saw this going on and this woman's yelling at this guy and all this? Would you say something?
As soon as I see this happening, I love when stuff like this happens. This is my favorite thing in the world. I pull out my phone immediately.
You film it.
Oh, I start filming it. I start making little comments. And what I do first is I pick whose side I want to be on.
Uh-huh.
And I mean that in the way of like, okay, so say racist lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's two ways.
Or bigot. It's worse
or
to,
bigot,
yeah,
lady.
Bigot is better, yeah.
There's two ways to play this. Now, you can either go make her amp up and start slightly agreeing with her and bait her into saying something more better for the YouTube clicks, or you go full on, shut up.
And that's the reason why things like this, right?
Yeah.
It's why sometimes people are afraid to act. Because they're not sure if this is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this culture right now where everyone, instead of acting, your first reaction is, let me pull out my camera.
Yeah.
Instead of the first reaction being, hey, lady, come on, pipe down. I'm trying to eat here. Go someplace else.
Yeah.
Your first reaction is, ooh, let me get this. Let me get the clicks. Let me see what I can get this bitch to say also.
Yeah.
And that's why I think most people get frozen in that moment because they're like, you're like, well, you just said, is this a real thing?
Is this real?
And then if it is a real thing, do I want to be on the right side? What side of this do I want to be on?
But I would say pulling out your phone also diffuses the situation a lot of times.
It amps it up.
It can, though, because people realize they're being shamed a bit.
I almost did it the other day. I was in Atlanta. Yeah. I was walking into a building. There was a young girl who was sitting outside, and she was looking out. This was that big pier place that has a bunch of, you know what it is?
Pier 1.
Not Pier 1.
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Pier 1.
It's this giant kind of tourist place.
Yeah.
And this girl's sitting there. She's looking at me. I can hear her mom, or who I thought was her mom from far away, go, get over here, girl. Get over here, girl. You better get over here. And I'm like, watch. And I'm walking up to them as they are already there.
Right.
And as I walk up, the mom walks up and grabs the girl by the hair.
Oh, hell.
And drags her from the stairs up into the house. And mama, stop. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, and I was about to say,
hey, chill.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I look, I was like, that girl seems way too young to be her mom. They got up 10 more steps.
Yeah.
The girl on the top was filming the whole thing to get the reactions of everybody around.
And it was
And they took off and laughed.
Oh, my God.
Same thing happened at the Magic game. Two kids are about to fight. Two teenagers are about to fight in front of, like, you know, that little Bud Zone area. And they slam the guy into the one of the pillars there. And I'm like, what the... And they start laughing.
So you don't know if people are doing things just to get the click.
So you, yes. But in all situations, you should take about 20, 30 seconds to assess, unless you're in immediate harm, because I've messed up where I jump immediately to something like, wait a second. Assess the situation.
You know what, Carlos? You make a very good point. The meat of this story this morning on the news was this has gotten over a million clicks, just a million hits just in a couple hours. So the story was more about it getting a bunch of hits.
Right.
So maybe it's fake. I don't know. Have you watched it, Angel? I know we can't play it because she curses a lot, but watch it and you tell me if you think it's fake.
She might be genuinely this mad and bad of a person. There's that possibility because it looks like it might be her husband that's telling her to shut up.
Is that her husband?
It might be, right? That's what some people are texting in, right?
Yeah.
But I do believe in the fact that because of exactly what Carlos described, that scenario happens so much now, and people being caught or embarrassed or shamed or whatever for their inaction, that people freeze. Normally, somebody would, you know, normally in this kind of situation, most people would be like, hey, shut up, or this, that, whatever. But now, because we are in the, is this a real thing? Is it, this can't be real. This would never happen here.
Yeah, we don't really know what's real anymore.
Yeah, and then, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be part of that. Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, you can go to our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. And I gave it a title. I did use racist because that's the way they talked about
and
it.
And that's an acceptable thing. But I think when it's every day in the news, when it's every day, we have to be clearer about what things are. And people don't like being called a bigot. And racist, calling somebody a racist is much more controversial than calling somebody a bigot. It literally draws lines because of the race issue. But if you can say, hey, you're a bigot, then they go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I've kind of seen.
You know, it's funny. Bigot is the way they used to describe Archie Bunker back when TV show was on. They would call him a bigot. And I always thought he's bigot. That's not as bad as being a racist.
Right. Because my point. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's not as bad as being a racist. But being a racist is worse.
Yeah.
So I titled this Nasty West Virginia Racist Lady in Restaurant. What would you do? Think about it. What would you do? And you guys bring up really good points. Like nowadays, you don't know if you're being, you know, sucked in to react on somebody's YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, even that show, What Would You Do? I want to be on that show so bad.
You know, and it's actually, to the people's credit in this place, there's a lot of people that are adding commentary. Once she starts dropping F-bombs and she's like going at the guy, because the guy apologizes. Hey, listen, I didn't mean anything by it.
The guy said it was nice,
yeah,
too.
He's like, I apologize for that. You know,
for speaking Spanish.
Exactly. Yeah.
He apologized for speaking Spanish.
And then she's like, I'm sorry for you and get the F out my country and everything. And then once she starts doing that.
She's horrible.
The room turns on her, but again, I think you witness people going, we're not that kind of place.
Oh, yeah. They're saying she only used the F-bomb once, so maybe is there possible to bleep that out and we can play it in the next segment, or?
In the portion that I heard, it was more than once. Bro.
Oh, was it more than once? Okay.
I'll re-listen to it during the break and see what we can do.
It was funny that the main thing about it this morning was that it's gotten over a million views just in one night, and I'm like, I wonder why.
Because they say that because they want you to go to their website and also watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so go to monsters.fm right now and check out this video.
That's all they care about, too. So, I mean, it's
a vicious cycle.
But you can't expect a West Virginia lady, like, who is watching at home Fox News all day long and listening to our president declare a national emergency for them people down by the border. What do you expect this lady to say? Like, she might think that there are these Mexican terrorists everywhere. They're gonna poison my guacamole.
So why did she go to eat at a Mexican restaurant?
Because it's my right as an American to eat wherever the hell I want.
Tacos are delicious, racist or not. I mean,
you better figure out how to say enchilada in American.
Yeah, wait. What's English for fajita?
Yeah.
I find those things are so hysterical, right? Because there's that. Things that just strike me peculiar or whatever, right? So you got this guy, he had like all the Confederate flags. He had all of them. All the Confederate
all
flags.
All the different styles.
Everything. He had them on his truck.
Proud.
And, you know, and they had the speak English and all this and, you know, the South of Rise, all these things, right? And if you live in East Orlando, you know exactly who I'm talking about, right?
Right.
And the thing that, again, it's just... It's funny to me, and I can't do anything but laugh, right? He pulls into a Chinese restaurant to eat, to eat,
right?
Right, and then it's a foreign made truck.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you're gonna be down hardcore. Why aren't you driving an American truck?
Driving a Toyota.
You know, I was like, come on, dude. I can't take you seriously as a bigot.
I like my truck, that truck, because I can put my Cuban sandwich right there.
You're not even a good bigot.
I have Cuban sandwiches every Tuesday, but I tell them to speak English to me.
Hey, my great Confederate flags, made in China.
Made in China.
All right, don't go anywhere. Check it out if you get a chance and tell me what you would do if you were sitting in this restaurant, this Mexican restaurant with this lady. It's at monsters.fm. I entitled it Nasty West Virginia Racist Lady in Restaurant because she's a nasty lady. All right, you're listening to the Monsters. The morning.
I ain't gonna take it no more. Network remix.
What is this?
Well, the line, I believe, is from the movie.
It's a sample from the movie, and this is a production outfit. You'll love that. Okay, so the group is called Crack and Smack. The album is called Jalapeno Funk Volume 1, Papi. And this is Mad as Hell.
I ain't gonna take it anymore. Check out the video that we're talking about. It's making national news. I entitled it Nasty West Virginia Racist Lady in a Restaurant. I mean, one of the things she says is, and think about this, you could say this to anybody, really, and that is, go back to your own country. Because if she was yelling at me, go back to your own country, you know, I'd be going to Ireland, right? Which I'm going in less than 2 weeks.
Nice.
Going to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day with my wife. I'm excited about that. Ryan Holmes, if they yelled at you to go back to your own country, you'd be going to
Denmark. Yeah. Which would be awesome. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I think about it all the time about moving there.
Now, Carlos, you're split. Your dad's Peruvian, mom, you're Cuban.
Yeah.
Go back to your own country. Yeah. Which one you go?
I'm probably going to go.
That's a toss-up.
Do I want to live in a village?
Bro, I wouldn't take Cuba.
Yeah.
But if you go to Peru, you got Lake Titicaca.
Yes, Lee. That's true. Lake Titicaca. It's true.
That's the name of the place.
I know.
It's a river that borders Peru and Bolivia.
I've been to Lake Titicaca. I would probably go to Peru.
Peru is better than...
Yeah, because they treated me like a boy band star when I went there. Because I had earrings, and they were like, señor, señor. And I was like, bye, bye, bye. So I would say,
Bobby,
like,
adios.
Yeah, yeah. So I would, adios. So I'd go Peru.
So an angel would be Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah, or Africa.
Oh, okay.
That's where we're all from.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
My grandfather, there's definitely Taino Indian is definitely in what's in our family and our lineage. And then great-grandpa was from Africa.
Well, I did, you know, with that 23andMe, they said I had a little bit of African in me, too, so I could go to Africa with you. But I'm more, 63% more, you know, Irish.
Yeah.
So, It's a funny thing to yell at somebody, go back to your own country, which it's
just small-minded.
It's assuming this country is yours.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong. But, you know, the whole country's made of immigrants. It's like,
not West Virginia. Man, there's a lot of places in this country that you go to and you're not going to find a bunch of immigrants. You're not going to find a bunch in spots. But, like, you know, you've been to a lot of places. It's East Coast. It's West Coast.
Do you know what West Virginia is full of? Here's what this true story. When the Irish came to America, they were treated like dirt.
Yeah.
They were dirt. They were the worst. They were the dirt of the dirt. And they all went to West Virginia.
Yeah.
That's where my family's from. That's where Mary Ellen's family's from. And a lot of Irish people up in the hills and the woods there.
A lot of O'Malley's, a lot of O'Reilly's, a lot of O's in general.
Yeah. Well, my mom was O'Halloran.
Not Obama's.
Yeah. You know? And so it's full of, at that time, back then, if you were Irish, you were dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when that changed where you're, you know, but and that's why they took
it
the worst.
It's because fear, man. Fear, huh? Fear is all what it breaks down to. That lady's scared. You know, that lady's scared that the Mexicans are taking over, that she doesn't know Spanish and other people do. It's all fear-based. She's a hurt, broken woman.
If she knew some Hispanic people, then she probably wouldn't have that,
same thing.
She definitely wouldn't have that sense.
Russ, do you agree? how far back we would be with LGBT relations if it wasn't for sitcoms and movies and music. Think about that.
For me, it was more the Phillips File and getting to know Wanzie and Doug.
Well, that's
for me,
but,
personally.
But that's on a local
really.
Level.
That was, a local level. Nationally, as a country, as a society, the way people learned about a lot of issues is through art and media.
Yeah.
So it can also be in the other way as well. So it doesn't surprise me that there's still people like that.
Yeah, she's.
I don't think.
Now, do you think
majority,
this lady
though.
Is ashamed?
No.
I think she could be ashamed. Yes, I think to think that she would never see the other light to understand her bigoted point of view. I don't think that.
Well,
think
now that over a million people have seen it and it's making national news, she's getting some light on it. Understood.
But
she's got to be embarrassed.
Who tells her though? A person like this,
it looks like her husband's telling her about her ass at the end.
Yeah, they're locally on a local level, yeah, right. But like in that, in you know, you're kind of insulated in your community and you're kind of protected in that regard. If she doesn't have a Facebook, if we don't know who she is.
Yeah,
we know that that's this lady.
It's some woman, some nasty woman in West Virginia.
Yeah, right. Nobody knows her Facebook account. No one knows her Instagram account. No. So there's like
we don't even know her name.
Yeah, we don't even know her name. So do we think that? I mean, the potential to evolve and become better. We all have that.
Right.
Does it seem like she might have access to that in her community? It doesn't seem that way.
I think we just need accountability overall when it comes to these things. What happened to the kid with the hat, the MAGA hat, that the Indian guy was yelling at him? What happened
to
this kid?
I saw an interview with that kid, and he was like, I was just standing there. He actually seemed like a good kid.
Right. I think there was probably blame and maybe both sides on that, but everybody rushed to judgment. This Jussie Smollett rushed to judgment.
I think you make a good point with that. I rushed to judgment on that kid. Right. I thought he was being an ass. He was standing there smiling, and the Indian guy was in his face pounding the thing, and he's like, I'm just standing here. And when they talked to the kid afterwards, he seemed like a nice, respectful kid. He goes, I wish that wouldn't have happened.
They did an investigation. The school did an investigation. And I don't know every detail. But the thing is, like, we have these flare-ups as a society.
Yeah.
And then we forget about it, and we stay enraged. Instead of somehow finding out, what was the outcome of this West Virginia lady, and have a clip of her on the news going, wow, I didn't realize that I was being that bigoted, and thanks for talking. You know what I'm saying? That's powerful. We can't just leave it open-ended.
Yeah. And we are ready to explode. You see something?
It's like with the
Smollett thing, Jussie Smollett thing. We're all ready to explode about that. Like, oh, it's a racist, horrible Trump people. Turns out. The guy was lying the whole time. I mean, you got to question everything, you know?
No, okay. And the only people, and guess, again, the only people that have talked about it in the last 2 days, us.
Yeah.
People aren't straightening
like
it out.
Like,
it's gone.
In the national media circles and everything.
Well, it's on the news every morning. It was on this morning.
But it's not like what Carlos was saying. It's not front and center. It's not like, hey, let's handle this and address this and break this down. Now it's almost like it's become a punchline. It's almost become a real life meme. Ooh, you got Jussie Smollett. You know what I mean?
Because the more we live in this digital world, the more we need some real resolutions. Because we have a legal world where if somebody punches, if I hit Ryan, I'll go to court, and this happened to me before, and then at the end I can say, well, you know what? This is what happened. I was found not guilty, or I was found guilty. And there is some, at least, as a society, we've grown used to accepting people once they've admitted they're wrong, right?
Right.
One time. But in this digital world, it's flare-up. Explosion?
Forget.
Flare up, explosion, and I don't know the answer.
And what's the aftermath of all that,
right,
though? Like the people that are involved, let's say someone's blamed for something they didn't do, and then flare up, and then you move.
Well, the aftermath is that MAGA hat kid is suing the Washington Post for $250 million as of this morning.
Is he really?
There are consequences to this jump to it reporting that we do. I mean, like, this kind of journalism really should only be done in national emergencies. I remember 9/11. There was so much information that came out all at once, and we're just trying to figure out what is happening. We have it where now you can take time on a story. We don't have to bust everybody out. Get the story right, and repercussions should happen.
And not
because it's wrong.
You know, honestly, because that kid was labeled a racist when really, from all accounts, he was just standing there. He just didn't back up. He was standing there smiling.
Right.
And the Indian guy got in his face.
That story was super easy to get upset at. I remember it happened on a weekend, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happening. I didn't post anything about it on Facebook. I saw Facebook blowing up, and I was like,
I'm going to get, I just luckily sat back. I'm going to give this a minute so I don't have to do a retraction later. And I think we all just need
it's
to
funny
do
how, think about how these stories happen, right? Again, media cycles, right? Something controversial like this. It's curious how it breaks on a Friday night, Saturday. Right. And when most networks and everything have gone to their weekend programming.
Yeah.
So all of this festers and festers. And then Monday, you know, 6 o'clock, everyone's talking about it. Tuesday, Wednesday,
But you know,
and then you're backing off it. This kid's suing the Washington Post for $250 million, right? It's, again, it feeds into that. That looks great. That's a great headline. All of those things look awesome. He's not going to see $250
million. No, he won't see it.
What would be more awesome is that, hey, you know what? I'm going to sue you guys, and I'm going to sue you guys for a sit-down piece with me, and you put me on the front of your newspaper, and we talk about this.
You know what would be powerful? Video with the Indian gentleman, with him. With the Washington Post, everybody who was
a round table,
yeah. And we announce it on social media. And guess, I see social media as the highway. I see social media as the broadcast. Like, it should be regulated by us. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's too powerful of a tool to let corporations. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but it's not just social media. It was making mainstream media.
But you know, where
it
was, do we check national news? When where do you go first to check your news?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you Twitter, know, you go to Twitter, Facebook,
and then you go there. Yeah. So it's our highway, and it's YOLO right now, man. It's the Wild West, and there needs to be some accountability somewhere.
You know, it is a funny thing, because with that kid with the MAGA hat and the Indian, and also with the Jesse Smollett thing, I felt like if I said, hey, wait a minute, just like with Jesse Smollett, he happens to be gay and black, and if I don't believe him, oh, I'm a racist because I don't believe him. Or if I don't believe the kid, you know, if I'm going to stick up for the kid and not the Indian, oh, I'm a bad person for not. It's so weird how things are now. It's almost like if you speak for one side, but there is nothing racist involved with it, you're still labeled that if you have that opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I think there is a part of that.
When I questioned Smollett, I think you even thought, why would you not believe him?
Well, the way you questioned it was outright questioning, right?
I did.
You know, it was outright questioning without going, I didn't say anything. I was kind of like, I could see this side, I could see it. And this is the phrase that I say in my head over and over when I'm about to emotionally react. Let the dust settle. Let the dust settle, because in the fog of war, for lack of a better term, situations, especially emotionally charged, racist situations, can get you fired ass up. And guess what? The algorithm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter knows that.
But there's no question with this woman from West Virginia.
No question.
She pretty much lays it out. She's like, go back to your country. You're in a, what'd she say? You're speaking. You gotta speak American.
I feel sorry for you that you know Spanish.
Yeah, I would go to that restaurant and pay extra so I can reenact the whole thing. You know, like, so I can go there and they're all in on it. I'm like, come over here, manager.
You know what? I'm thinking here now. How do you get people to pay attention to the outcome? It's an event, right? Mm. These people have now become celebrities. The Walmart kid. I know that that's the viral funny stuff.
The Walmart kid.
But the yodeling Walmart kid.
Oh, yeah. You know,
like, people went to Coachella to go watch the Walmart kid. If there was an event, not a court trial, but a town hall, a sit-down, round table, you go, hey, do you want to go see the West Virginia lady? Or do you want to go see the MAGA hat kid in the Indian? Yeah, let's go check it out. They put it goes broadcast on all social medias. Do you know how powerful it would be to see this West Virginia lady, who obviously is a bigot, go on video saying, wow, hey. I didn't even realize, and be with the Mexican and shake his hand. That's powerful.
Yep.
And we don't have that right now. We just have the match and the fire, and we need the firefighters to put out some of this stuff.
If you get a chance, check out the website at monsters.fm. You can see the video that we're talking about. It's entitled Nasty West Virginia Racist Lady in Restaurant. She's pretty bad. It'd be nice to see her turn it around. But she probably, at this point, over a million people have seen it. She's probably not going to want to be in the media again. Probably too much attention, you know?
Do you remember the beer council? It was right when President Obama took office. It was like maybe 6 months in. And the Harvard professor, a black Harvard professor, was arrested. And because he was trying to get into his own home, right?
Yes.
And they had a sit down.
Yes.
And they had a beer and they talked about it, and it was in the news and it was powerful. And that guy has gone on to work with him, and that right there. And they made fun of President Obama for it.
Yeah.
They said, oh, he should be going off on this. And black people said he should be getting mad at the cop. And the cop said he should be getting mad at the black person. And he didn't. He took a different approach. And I think that's what a good resolution to some of these things will help us as a society.
Well, you know, and as awkward as it is sometimes, I think having conversations like we have here,
absolutely.
You don't hear people in other radio stations kind of talking about, you know, both sides. sides and talking about the racism. Because look, racism is one of those things you don't want to walk down that aisle sometimes because you're going to get some people upset. But I think it's stuff that you have to do every once in a while. Hey, when we come back, Carlo's going to take you to the top. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Oh, we got to talk about that. let's do it after Carlos' segment. All right. But if you haven't gotten a chance, do me a favor. After Carlos' segment, when you got some time, go to your website, Monster.fm, and see the new trailer. It's called The Dirt, the new Motley Crue trailer.
I haven't seen it yet. You liked it?
I did like it, but Angel, well, I'll tell you in a minute. Welcome back to the Monsters. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Ryan Holmes, and now Carlos is going to take you to the top.
Let's go!
Hold on a second.
It's okay. You were doing music stuff. Now, listen, I'll rock out to the crew.
To the top.
Hey, you notice that me and Ryan Holmes have matching shirts today?
Aww.
Isn't that cute?
We
do. You guys
are so cute.
Best friends.
Best friends forever.
Because I fill mine out a little bit more. I got a chest.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. My name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, try and take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. Yes, go to monsters.fm a little bit later. To The Top is on there. You got Poke the Bear. You got Monster Stuff. You got Prime Cuts. And a lot of cool things coming. And then find me on Instagram, too, because I'm always posting stuff on there. That's To The Top. Carlos, guys. I'm in pain right now.
Pain? What kind of pain?
Physical pain.
What happened?
I'll tell you why. Well, first off, I'm very upset about my car being stolen, and then you guys know that's still gone. No sign.
You should be over it by now. You know that, right?
It's so funny. I see like three news stories this morning that are, hey, we found these cars in these apartment buildings.
No. He's right. This is so totally weird.
Really?
There's a bunch of, and I picked up on the same thing. Yeah. I don't know if they're just finding all the car stashes or somebody's feeling really guilty and they're
head there.
One of these spots has got to have Carlos's car.
Wow, yes. Well, it's still gone, but I was upset. I did get over it, Russ. But then yesterday I got the most upset I've been about this the entire time.
Why?
Exactly why. As I'm with my daughter, I'm like, hey, we're going skating. My nephew's skate night at school. So, hey, let's go skating up at Cimarron. Shout out to Cimarron. And I go, let me go get my skates.
Oh, hell. Mm. Your brand new Ryobi green badass skate bag
custom.
With your great custom skate. Oh, just tell him to please return the skates.
That's what I was screaming, Russ.
Just return the skates.
I was like, damn it! Why the hell did I leave my skates in there? And my wife's skates, too.
Oh, hell.
So she was like, Carlos, this is the most upset you've been about this. I was like, yes, I feel violated.
Yeah.
You know, some stinky-ass thief is probably skating around town in hot shorts.
No, even worse, they probably threw them away. They probably just threw them in the trash.
Like, who skates?
No. Actually, no. This could be a clue. This could exactly. Hey, if you all of a sudden, you know, notice somebody that normally doesn't rock the Ryobi green skates and now they're rocking them,
we
need to speak with said individual.
Thank you.
It's about acquiring where he got said skates.
Right.
I think that is a great idea. And so this led to my pain. More pain. Physical, mental, figurative pain. I don't even know if that's a thing.
You rented skates.
Ah, yes, Ryan. And you know how much I hate potato skates.
Yep.
I hate them.
Feet. Now you got to use them.
So I roll in there. I wasn't trying to make a play on words, but it was. And I go and I sit down. Now.
We weren't going to let you skate by them.
Nice. And I'm like, put them on. And actually, these skates are a little bit better than the potato skates at the other place we go to. And so I'm like, all right. And I put them on. I'm like, whoa. They are also a little faster.
Okay.
So I was like, okay. So, you know, I get out there and I'm doing my thing. Long leg lunges, deep strides, you know, on the beat, bouncing. You know, my daughter, too, we're rocking it. Then the Hokey Pokey comes, right? Every night, every time, they always do that Hokey Pokey thing. They get some stupid mascot in the middle of dances and then, like, you know,
that's
you
what
win
it's
a
all
prize,
about.
Right? That's what it's all about. Now, what's my problem, Russ? I get a little too much extra on things.
Yeah, a little competitive.
Competitive. Mm. I can be aggressive.
Overzealous.
Absolutely. Very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't going to do the hokey pokey because every time I do the hokey pokey, I just can't put my right arm. I got to do a little dance when I put the right arm in. I got to do a little dance when I put the right arm out, you know? And so I was like, come on, Dad, let's go do the hokey pokey. So go do the hokey pokey. Have fun. These skates are dope. I was like, actually, pretty. I was like, man, I got to get this monitor. I'm skating pretty well, whatever, whatever. And then they do the cha-cha slide.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a cha-cha slide guy. It's too much sliding, too much cha-cha, but my daughter said, okay. There's a part where they go, stomp your feet, boom, boom,
yeah, yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Right?
And the first one, stomp one time, boom,
yeah,
two times. So as I progressed, I got way more extra in a gigantic circle of the entire school, right? And I'm dancing, and they're like, yeah, he's going backwards. And then I jump up for three times, one, two, three. And for whatever reason, I do a cannonball in the air.
Why?
You break your knees.
He just said for whatever reason, he doesn't know.
I'm stupid, Russ.
So stupid.
I get in a moment where I'm performing, and I'm like, keep going, Carlos, they're loving it. So I jump in the air to land my legs, and I not only miss, I land on the skating ring, knees on.
That hurts.
Yeah. I go, I thought I broke my kneecaps.
Man. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
It was horrific.
Oh, yeah. Now you feel like me, huh?
But I was like, and I got up and I was like, oh, okay, I can move them. Okay. Immediate bruises, contusions. And everybody laughed. They laughed. That's fine.
You got the laugh.
I got the laugh, yeah. And I kept skating. Now, what I didn't know.
I'm not going to let him see. I'm going to skate.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, you didn't crawl to the side and.
No. I got back up and I started doing like. I started jumping. I didn't learn my lesson. I did it again.
Yeah. Well, you got to show that you're fine and that you don't feel bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm a tough man. I drive a truck now. multiple contusions on the Facebook Live here says. But anyway, it was okay. My daughter knows I'm a fool.
Yeah, right.
She's cool with it. We skated. I'm okay, but I'm a little hurt. If you see me limping around here, okay? I'm a little extra. Motivational minute. All right, here we go. The three P's in life. What are they? I know I've spoken about this before, Russ.
Easy.
I know
the first one.
Russ. You know what?
Russ, your composure.
When I wrote down the P philosophy, the P formula, it sounds very dirty.
Yeah.
And it can get dirty.
Uh-huh.
And a certain other P will make you happy, or at least 50% of the nation.
And we're talking pizza.
Exactly. But there are so many wonderful P words that I had to limit it down to three. I love just like learning about what makes you happy? What makes you sad? What makes you know, just different things. People that are way smarter than me, that do way more research. I like to look at them and then I kind of jot some things down. And what I've realized is a lot of people ask me, why are you happy all the time, Carlos? And I'm like, I'm not happy all the time. I definitely have a lot of last night when I slammed my knees in the middle of the skating rink, I was not happy. When my car was stolen, I was not happy.
Right.
When I messed up in my life doing stupid things, I was not happy. And the reason for that was I was missing one out of these three things. And I really think you need three P's in order to be happy.
All right.
And these are the ones I got. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
And you guys let me know if you disagree.
I'm sure.
In order to be happy in life,
yeah,
you need to have a passion.
Okay, yeah.
Would you agree, Russ Holmes?
I would agree, yeah.
Ryan Holmes?
Yes.
And Angel Rivera?
Yes. Passion.
You also need to have a purpose.
Purpose, all right. Yeah.
You got to have a purpose.
Yeah.
What's your purpose, Ryan?
My purpose? Just to make people happy.
There you go. And that is a real purpose. You ask some people, what's your purpose? And they go, I don't know. That's tough. And the last one is progress. That's the most important one. Progress. Because we will feel stale as hell if we look around and we're like, God dang, everything's the same. You're never like that, Russ. You're always progressing day to day. You're building old country tables. And that's why you're successful. And I think if you're missing any of those, if you're just passionate like me about skating and that's all you care about and you slam your knees and there's no progress, there's no purpose, you're not going to be happy. If you have, if you're just progressing, but you're kind of like, I don't even know what the hell I'm progressing.
I don't know why I'm doing it.
I don't know why I'm doing this. You're not going to be happy, you know? And it's really simple to do all this. You know, there's a lot of passionate mothers out there that feel like, or there's a lot of purposeful mothers out there that aren't passionate or progressing because they kind of feel stuck, you know? And I hope that one of those things connects with you today because you really are in control of your day. And
And if you need to know a little bit more about this stuff, hit me up. To the Top Carlos. I'm always trying to respond back on there and get back to people. So many nice people write me every day. A lot of people connected with the Motivational Minute yesterday. A lot of people wrote me about how they feel about themselves. And I want to let you know another thing. Bill Ray Nissan, right there on 1792. You can check him out at BillRayNissan.com. If you connect with anything, if you laugh, if you're uplifted, do me a little favor. Check out Bill Ray Nissan when you're thinking about getting that car, because they do business the right way. And I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
Hey, Carlos, have you ever talked to somebody and talked to them about and asked them, what is your passion? And they look at you like you're speaking French.
Yes.
Like, what do you mean? Like, they have no clue. And it's surprising to me. Of course, I've always... It's just the way I've always been. It didn't matter what it was when I was in like junior high school or whatever. I always had a passion about something that I was singularly focused on. And it's, you know, it can be a curse, but it can be a blessing. But there are some people that are like, I don't know. They don't have a passion about anything. And for the life of me, I can't understand how that happens.
It is weird.
There are some people that just have no real passion about one thing. They're like, I just want to get through life.
Yeah.
And you're right. Those people don't seem to be happy.
They're not. And you ask me, and there is something. I don't think you are born without something in you. That is going to, like, you're not going to make it. The odds of becoming a human are insurmountable. It's like 1 in 370 million, something crazy, for you to actually become a human. So once you're here, there's a reason you're here.
All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Status updates. Are you really complaining about traffic? That don't suck. Facebook.com/RealRadio. Orlando.
From the
Radio. 104.1.
That's from the first album. Welcome back to the Monsters. Mornings, we're Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. By the way, this weekend, we're going to be at the Apollos game. Get your tickets by going to MonstersEndZone.com. That's MonstersEndZone.com. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes. Okay, so if you have not seen the trailer for The Dirt, now The Dirt I thought was a very good book.
It's one of the most amazing, I mean, just flat out good reads, and it's one of the most honest. The members of the band were 100% honest. It is one of the most fascinating reads about the eternal goings-on of a rock band.
Of a rock band. And what's really interesting about it, and I don't know that any other book has done this before, but what they did was they had all four members write their own chapters. So you'll read something from the perspective of Vince Neil, and then in the next chapter or so, you'll see what Nikki Sixx thought about the same exact thing, but different. And all members of the band...
Agreed to do this?
Agreed to do it, but they go over... But you know, when you read, each person looked at it differently. It was really interesting to see. So it's called The Dirt. It was a really good book. I did read it, and I don't read a whole lot. I did read the book. And so when this trailer came out, I'm really interested to see how it looks. My only criticism was I didn't think the guy playing Vince Neil looked very much like Vince Neil. But other than that, I think everything else looked good. And the trailer looks awesome, and I can't wait to see it. And so it made me realize something else that I'll bring up afterwards. But so when I saw it, that's what I took from it. And then I asked Angel, and what did you say?
Yeah. So they're getting stuff wrong already in the trailer.
And what are they getting wrong?
I know, and this is okay.
I hate to tell you. Is this a hate?
No, yeah, it is. Oh, it's 100%.
Ryan Holmes, I hate to tell you,
because I'm looking forward to the movie. It's not going to stop me from watching the movie.
But I hate to tell you.
Is it an R? It's got to be a hard R, probably, right?
Yeah, they're expecting it to be. It's on Netflix.
It's Netflix.
Yeah, it's got to be a hard R.
Yeah, because there's stuff that's
strippers in it.
That's covered in the book. Certain scenes.
I read about a quarter of the book and thought, I really didn't know much about them. It was many years ago. I think we got all like autographed copies of the book or something.
Yeah.
And I read a portion because I just didn't know who they were, and it was insane.
So one of the story or one of the arcs of this band is what happens to Vince Neil in on the Sunset Strip.
Right.
He's hard rough lead singer of the Motley Crue. They're at that point. They're probably one of the biggest bands in the world, and he's living every bit of that. And he becomes friends with a guy from an up and coming band called Hanoi Rocks.
Right.
So they're on a rager. They're living off the strip, and he's recounted this story many a time. And the reason why it stood out to me is because what happens is, I think, a crucial part of this story in my mind. So he, you know, and he said this, if you watch Behind the Music, you saw this. He says, oh, I just jump in my car and I'm going down to go get more booze for our party. And his buddy Razzle jumps in with him and everything. And halfway down the road, he loses control of the car. Car spins out, slams into a telephone pole or another car.
Another car.
And he kills, he kills Razzle, right? And this kid is the guitarist or the lead singer for Hanoi?
I thought he was the lead singer of Hanoi Rocks.
All right, so they're on the come up and everything, right? So this is a really big part of what happens to Vince, what happens to that band.
Oh, I remember that,
The fallout from this is one of the reasons why Vince ends up leaving the band and everything, right?
Right.
So the car that they're using in the movie is wrong.
I hate to tell you, but the car they're using in the scene that I saw was not the proper car.
No, if you are a fan and if you are
What car was it supposed to be?
Okay, it's supposed to be the car that he wrecks is a 1972 Ford Pantera.
Oh.
He's besmirching the name of the Chevrolet Corvette in this movie.
Oh, so it's a Corvette.
They use a Corvette in the movie, and that's not accurate.
If you can make it accurate like that, I'm with you. You should. I don't know why, other than shooting purposes, or make it look cooler.
Is the Pantera a crap car? Yeah, well,
It doesn't look as cool as a Corvette.
No, the Pantera looks way cooler.
Oh, okay.
The 72 Pantera can't be mistaken for anything else.
Is it a hard car to find? Is it a hard car to mess up?
It's become collectible. But you're in Hollywood. You could get a shell car kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So that was your only criticism, is the wrong car. You're probably the only one that noticed that.
I am not the only one!
I bet you are.
I am not!
Yeah, I wonder if that's probably production purposes. You can't wreck the car. You got to buy a car to wreck it, to shoot in it.
Yeah, I remember reading an article like one time. It was titled, is Hollywood ruining all classic cars by just like wrecking them? Because they do. It's probably just a ton of money to use the other car.
Okay, you read the book several times. Other than the wrong car, do you think that it looks pretty good, right?
It looks really good.
I hate to tell you, but their haircut was from 1987, but it was actually 1985.
I'm curious why. Because it looks production-wise, it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Why it didn't make it to the big screen? Because this was a big Hollywood thing that was going on for a while. The story had been sitting there. It took forever to cast the guys. Motley Crue was heavily involved in even of the shooting of this movie.
Is Motley Crue, and if not for me in my world, they're huge. But are they too much of a niche really for most of America? Like to me, oh my God, Motley Crue, biggest man in the world.
Yes.
But for a lot of people, you know, like Carlos doesn't know who the hell they are. Ryan Holmes, they're not really, you know. Are there people that are not as interested in Motley Crue as, I don't know, classic rock is number one in a lot of markets.
Yeah,
you know, still.
But those people don't know how to stream.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just wrong.
A lot of them, Angel.
Well, what do you mean? Like, there's bands that are way more niche than Motley Crue. Motley Crue was, at one time they were the biggest band in the world.
I think so as well. I mean, that's my thought. I don't know why it wouldn't go and be a major motion picture that you could go and see in the movie theater, because I would think it would do well. The Queen movie did well, and in my mind, Motley Crue just as big as Queen.
Hell no.
Are you in your mind? But it's not even on the same.
I think Queen is bigger globally.
But I mean in America.
Way bigger. You could have so many people.
I would say that with all my friends that like metal music or like rock music, not even close. Motley Crue is much bigger than Queen.
Right, and that's the thing. Rock is dead. Mainstream rock is dead. The biggest music in the world is hip hop. Freddie Mercury's an icon, so you're gonna make a movie. Elton's an icon. Nobody on Motley Crue is an icon.
And I hate to admit
Tommy Lee
kind of is.
Not, I mean, in the porn world, a dirtbag icon. And yes, I'm not to take away their amazing skills. Tommy Lee is one of the greatest drummers, period.
No,
you know?
And then Nikki Sixx is going to go down. I mean, and this is what most people don't understand. Motley Crue only exists because of Nikki Sixx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is the guy. He's the one
that kept it together.
He wrote the songs.
Yeah.
All the songs he wrote, he did that. That's his vision.
And as much as it pains me to agree with Carlos on that, I think that's the conclusion I came with. I was like, I hate to think this, but I'm probably metal music like that just isn't big enough to have its own movie, which is sad for me. But here's something else I realized by watching the trailer, and I did not know this before. But Angel, did you see in the trailer? Did you see who their manager was?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Doc McGee.
Yeah.
Doc McGee is also the same manager of Kiss, and I now think that this whole Crue versus Kiss thing that's in the media right now is fake. It's a
show?
It's a fake. It's it's a shoot. I think they because they had the same stage production guys and they had the same manager and they just toured a couple years ago and they're all buddies. And I think that Nikki Sixx, hey, listen, I'll complain that our stage show looks like yours. More people will go online to see your stage show. They'll be excited about seeing a Kiss show. Let's just do a little gimmick.
They culminate this?
How?
Right here at Camping World Stadium, a double bill, Kiss and Motley Crue to round out 2019.
That would be badass. But
that's in my head.
I think it's a fake fight. When I saw that Doc McGee was...
Were you... There was a question?
Yes. I didn't realize until I saw the trailer, and I'm like, oh, Doc McGee's their manager, too. He managed Kiss, he managed Motley Crue and Bon Jovi, and also Darius Rucker, but...
Damn!
I know, which is...
I only want to be with Crue.
Kind of a weird thing.
I only want to be with Crue.
But if you want to see the trailer, it's online.
Little Simmons.
If you go to monsters.fm, I got new trailer, The Dirt, a Motley Crue movie on Netflix.
Way less of a risk, right? You know, to put it on Netflix than to release it theatrically for it to bomb.
You think it would bomb?
I mean, who knows? I mean, you just don't know with movies these days. Improper promotion.
I'll tell you why it would bomb, because it's been a script out there for a while. It's been all the classic things. Bands heavily involved. That's never a good sign.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, N.W.A. pulled it off with Straight Outta Compton. Dre, Ice Cube, MC Ren, all those guys were on set every day when they shot that.
And I know they're not the same thing, but in the rock world... Wouldn't they be N.W.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
I can see the parallel.
Why wouldn't they release it other than the fact that hip-hop music, rap is the main gigantic music in the world?
Right.
But then, you know, they released an EDM movie with Zac Efron, who was one of the biggest one of the biggest flops in history. So, yeah. Like I said, you don't know. And worldwide, South America...
In Brazil, metal is rules.
Oh, this movie's going to do huge in Brazil.
Oh, and for all you haters in the YouTube chat and the texting service that go, Motley Crue's so big, bro, I don't know nothing. Who had a movie out first, and who did really well with their movie? Queen, I win. Boom.
It's so funny. In America, just so you guys know, in America, Queen did not do as well as you guys think they did. Yep. Now, they did around the globe. I was listening to the countdown the other day, and it was like, Queen, it was one of the, a little thing called Love or whatever, and it peaked at number 32. It really didn't. They were not considered this great, great band when I was younger. They became greater after the death of Freddie Mercury in America. Now, overseas, they were always really, really, really huge. So I don't think I'm off base when I say Motley Crue just as big.
Because
Motley Crue was around during the MTV years. They were always number one for the.
All right. So just for argument's sake, we got two. I've always used this premise for an argument. We're on Orange Avenue.
Yes.
Right? And on one in Orange Avenue, you got Queen, and they're doing their show.
And when? What year?
Let's say we're doing
the height of their...
Let's just say we're doing this in... we're doing it today.
We're doing it today.
Oh, today.
Today, right?
Well, see, today, now Queen has more juice today.
No, but I'm just saying here. They're releasing the movie. Yeah, locally.
So that's the point of it.
Let's say we're here locally. You got Queen at one end of the street. You got Motley Crue at the other end of the street. Who do you think people go watch?
Well, today it would be probably Queen. You're right. Do we have Freddie Mercury back? You know, Queen's going to perform at the Oscars this weekend.
The Oscars are this weekend?
It's the weekend. It's the Academy Awards this weekend. And Queen has been, they're going to perform with.
Because they have a movie with a worldwide release, and Motley Crue's on stinky old Netflix.
Someone's getting at him. He's talking to somebody specifically. Leave him alone, Ryan.
Is it a diss, though, now Netflix? I mean, to just go...
As opposed to worldwide movie release,
I think if you ask younger people, they know no difference.
I'd say Netflix surpasses TV. Like if you're like, if it's on TV, Netflix, they're kind of the same thing. But if you talk worldwide movie release, like you get the Avengers in the movie first, then it comes to Netflix.
I'm with you, Carlos. I think that generation it doesn't slow them down.
Yeah, we're wondering about why didn't they do it. Netflix is like, why would we do that? We control everything. We're building gigantic studios in Toronto. We have all the analytics. Yeah. We have all the information. Why would we risk
We know that this is going to be a hit. Yeah. You know?
A couple of mistakes we've already made, and we do them all the time. Razzle was the drummer of Hannah Rocks.
I didn't
Hannah
know I was asking.
I thought he was a singer. I was wrong about that. And then there are people that are saying that, you know, Queen really became big after Wayne's World, and that's true. I mean, like I've listened to other podcasts from other, like Eddie Trunk or whatever, and they talk about how, you know, Queen wasn't as big as we're remembering that they were.
In the United States.
In the United States. Now, around the globe and in the UK, they were unstoppable. Yeah. They were just super huge. So in America, Motley Crue, during that MTV years, man, they were huge.
What were their years?
The 80s, like, I mean, I know it was after I was out of high school, and I remember thinking, oh, they're trying to rip off Kiss.
No, here's a testament to Motley Crue.
89.
Right, so...
89, because Wayne's World was what, 91?
So Motley Crue has their run by 84, 85 is when we first get their first album.
Too Fast for Love.
Too Fast, right? And they're one of the only hair bands that when Nirvana, Pearl Jam, when the Seattle scene happens... It didn't slow down Motley Crue. Mm. They were able to survive that. They still went on tour. Mm-hmm. They were still doing that. They get that credit because there's a ton of bands, a ton of their peers. They weren't able to tour. They went back to doing club gigs.
Yeah.
Destroyed them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, so if you get a chance, you want to see the trailer. I think it looks really good. It's The Dirt for Motley Crue, and it's you go to Monsters.fm and you can check that out. And now I think the whole Motley Crue versus Kiss thing is fake. Hey, you gotta question everything. You know, Kiss hasn't said anything about it, but Motley Crue is saying, "Oh, they stole our stage show," and I'll bet you that's just to get people to go and you know look at their stage show to sell more tickets. Damn it, everything's a gimmick these days. All right,
really?
when we come back for me, right? When we come back, we're opening up the phones. We want to hear what you've got to say. 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Do you think Motley Crue was ever as big as Queen in America when they were at their hottest? You can answer that question or anything else you want to talk about. Okay with us. 407-916-1041. You're listening to The Monsters of the Morning. Hey, we're opening up the phones now. We want to hear from you. And no matter what you want to talk about, if you want to talk about that nasty lady that we got on our website who is all mean to the guy at the Mexican restaurant, you can talk about that. You can talk about the Motley Crue, if they were as big as Queen in the day.
Man, somebody went there. They want to take you to the mat on this one, man.
Hey, man, I'm ready to go. I'm always ready to go to the mat. That's fine. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Ryan and Carlos.
What was that?
I don't know.
What are you doing? I don't know. I'm in a mood today.
You are in a mood.
I'm starting with the banner. Yeah.
Starting with the banner. The wrinkly banner. That got me going.
The wrinkly banner is what I call my ball.
407-916-1041. This is the time when we open up the airways for you, the listeners, the people that listen right here on Real Radio, to Real Radio in Orlando, and you can call about whatever you want. Let's go to OJ. You're on Real Radio 104.1. What's up?
Hey, Russ, it's good being out of jail.
Hey, morning, monsters.
Hello.
Today.
Good. How you
chilling, girl? We're just doing a show.
I'm good. So I actually wanted to follow up on what Carlos was talking about with the peas.
All right, girl. Give me another pea.
I was brought up on the 7 P's. Ooh. Proper planning and practice prevents piss poor performance.
Hey, I like that. I've never heard that before. That's pretty cool. 7 P's.
That's a lot of P's to put on a T-shirt, though.
Yeah.
That was in a movie. There was a movie that was in.
I've never heard that.
What movie was that in?
I have no idea. My brother actually brought me up learning with, taught me that and had me learn that. So I put it into my everyday life.
It's a military thing.
Yeah. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. Yeah. Love it. Hey, thanks for sharing that.
It's
cool.
A military adage, and we probably saw it in any one of the military movies from like the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
A lady, what's a gentleman?
It was either that one or what's the one?
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket.
I think that's what I saw. Yeah. 407-916-1041. What'd you say, Ryan?
I don't live by that. I live by a proper plan and prevents people from partying. Okay. Woo!
Live
1 second at a time.
Things are going great.
Yeah.
Larry, you're on Real Radio. What's up, buddy?
Well, hey, what's going on, Matt Rush? Everything is pretty copacetic here on 4. I have two things.
Yeah.
First, I had the most badass shop teacher. His name in seventh grade, I'm a little older than you. His name was Jake.
Yeah.
Literally, Jake. He would come around and smack you in the back of the head when you messed up in shop class.
Yeah.
And you would never forget that.
He sounds awesome.
You know, it's funny, Flair, as Carlos and I talk about this all the time, and their names of people, and then it ends up with what they do for a living. I totally forgot about this until, remember the story I told you earlier that we had a shop teacher and he cut off his thumb? Uh-huh. And that's what scared me from when his name was?
Jeff Cutthumb.
Mr. Cuts.
Mr. Cuts.
Mr. Cuts. Was the shop teacher at Lockhart Junior High School, and his name was Mr. Cuts, and he cut off his thumb.
There's relation between names and what you do for a living. The research has been done.
My name's Ryan Holmes, and I live in a home.
That's true.
Another whole topic. I work in collections and receivables. We actually had a guy named Doug Fear. F-E-A-R.
Hello, this is Doug Fear to collect on your target bill.
The one thing I wanted to talk about or ask you, Russ, because I know you're a great planner. Yeah. Are you going to go to the 50th anniversary of Woodstock?
Oh, no, I have no interest in that. Who played at Woodstock that I would even, I mean, other than Sha-na-na, I mean, they're still alive.
Nobody knows the lineup. Is Kiss going to play it?
I doubt it.
Nobody knows. If you go to Woodstock.com, you can check whatever's
happening. Okay. Well, that's
cool. All right. My name's Jeff
Woodstock. Yeah, they are doing this anniversary, and they have yet to confirm. They've confirmed that they're having this show.
Yeah.
We, as of right now, do not know who
the last Woodstock wasn't a disaster, though.
Yeah, it was.
They tried to make one.
There were some pretty cool moments in that one, but
the mud one was good.
That was probably one of the cool parts about it, right? But that's also the same one where you had the fires.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit, and there's fires.
So the first Woodstock, it was, you had the Jefferson Airplane, you had Jimi Hendrix, you had Janis Joplin, you had Sha-na-na.
Santana. There was some recent documentary.
The Stones, right? The Rolling Stones?
I don't think they were there.
No, they weren't there?
No, I don't think they were there, but there was a recent documentary I watched where they were talking all about Woodstock. That seemed like a trip. People just banging everywhere.
What's the guy? Dylan. Bob Dylan.
Yeah, Bob Dylan. Yeah.
Let's go to Freddie. You're on with the Monsters. How you doing, Freddie?
Yes, good morning, Monsters. Hey, I just wanted to speak out a little bit about what happened in the restaurant. That Mexican guy, you know?
Yeah. You go to our website at monsters.fm and you can see it. It's a real nasty old woman, and she's telling this Mexican guy at a Mexican restaurant, speak English or go back to your own country.
Yeah, I don't quite get it, because you live in this country and it's a freedom of speech, right? I mean, not that you're going to speak Spanish or speak another language, but it's just kind of long that you can't even say anything nice anymore. I mean, people are just so cold, right? You know, to some extent. And Carlos had a good point, because he brought up about, you know, people just don't understand. They're ignorant, man. They're just totally ignorant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, you would think, though, some people would become self-aware and realize they're ignorant to things. You know, like you know what? I don't understand this, so I'm not going to be mean about it. I'm going to try to understand it. You would hope that, because she looks like she's an older lady, and you would think that people would go, you know what? Yeah, I'm a little ignorant to this. Let me just try to get to know them. But I guess that's not reality.
But think about it, Russ. Yeah. Okay. Let's say she's just like majority of people that live in West Virginia.
Yeah.
After high school. And I'm totally generalizing, right? But let's say she lived a life. She seemed like, what, 60s, 70s maybe?
She looked like she's 65,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's say by 20 she's married, 25 she's married with that guy that she's sitting there. She stays at that home for the rest of her life. Her environment does not change. So how do you expect her, without fully diving into the web or people that are really bold around her, to say something to change into a moment like this?
And she's in a Mexican restaurant. She's really shocked that they said,
you know, she ain't got good Wi-Fi.
Yeah. To be fair, she thought Chili's was a soup restaurant.
Hey, Jay, you're on Real Radio. What's up, Jay?
Russ Rollins and the Monster has been listening forever.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
20 some odd years.
Hell yeah.
Hey, there was a conversation that came about that involved Russ's man card. So there's now a $50 bet with a buddy of mine about whether or not Russ knows the meaning of something. And I would like to find out whether he does or not, without help from the peanut gallery.
Okay,
done. I like this
game. Yeah.
Right, yeah, I know Angel knows the answer to this question.
Do you think I know it, sir? Okay.
I think Carlos may know what it is.
What about me, sir?
No, you're not included.
No.
Okay.
He shooed you.
Yeah, it was a shoot.
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever, Daddy-O. All right, so if you're on a basketball court playing a pickup game, and this is for Russ, if you're on a basketball court just playing some pickup game of basketball, just shooting it around, whatever, doing some local, and somebody says, quote, give him his change. Russ, you know what that means.
They give the ball. Yeah, give him the ball, yeah.
Because of what?
Because he's got to get his free throws.
Yes, I just made $50.
Why?
Nice. A buddy of mine said you had no idea. You said your man card wasn't strong enough to even know what that means.
Oh, please, yeah.
Give him his change as a free throw?
Yeah, give him his change. He gets a couple free throws.
I thought it was like give him his change after he hits the shot, and then I could give him his change.
Like an and one?
Okay.
Yeah, he made the shot, so you give him the ball back, so he takes another shot.
So you won $50.
It's nice. I'll give it to my local charity.
There you go. See, nice. Listen, I've got my man card. I just don't use it very often.
Yeah. It's a little dusty.
Yeah,
it's been denied a lot.
You know?
Yeah, if you close your man credit card.
You know? All right, Jay, I appreciate you calling, buddy.
That wallet. All right, thanks.
Take care. All right. That was funny. 407-916-1041 or toll-free. It's 1-888-978-1041.
How do you think that happened? Like, guy hits your shot and he's like, hey, do you think Russ Rollins knows what?
Yeah,
but he doesn't. He's done.
He's such a pussy. He don't know.
All day long, we just go, do you think Russ Rollins knows that?
I'll play that every day. You know what? Every day, I'll take one of those. I don't care. I'll take one of those every day.
Carlos, I want to know how does that conversation begin?
What is Buddy arguing whether I know and give them the change?
No, Russ is a big time pussy. Look, he doesn't understand basketball rules and regulation. He does, and I got 50 on it.
To be fair, when you were talking about Biscuit Joint earlier, I thought you might have thought it was a breakfast restaurant.
There was a phase in my life where I did play pickup basketball a lot, and I was taking those basketball lessons from Buzz Brayman, the guy that taught Shaquille O'Neal how to shoot free throws.
And that's the guy you want teaching you.
Buzz Brayman.
Rest in peace, Buzz.
He was a legend, but I'm just joking. Obviously, Shaq shot the worst free throws almost in history.
Yeah, Buzz Brayman hit like, he hit like 100 in a row or something like that. Yeah. He was great, and he was a nice guy. And when Shaquille O'Neal came to Orlando, I didn't even know who he was. Most people really didn't know unless you were really into college basketball. Buzz Brayman is like, hey, listen, I got a guy that's coming in after you. He's from LSU. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And when Shaq, it's the first time I met
never
Shaq.
Never heard of LSU.
I'd never heard of LSU. And when Shaq walked in, I'm like, my God, it's the biggest guy in the world. And I remember Buzz telling me that this is true.
Are you Bubba Wilson from Police Academy?
No, Buzz told me, he said, Russ, you shoot better free throws than he does because his hands are so big that I'm trying to teach him how to shoot free throws. And I sat and watched one day, and like Shaq missed all of them. Like,
he didn't care, right?
In this class, he cared.
No, Carlos is right. In the beginning of his career, he could care. He thought it was a useless point of basketball. He was not.
Well, he
got
went there
better.
Every week.
No, he got better as his career went on. And then there was a really frustrating time, particularly when he was in Los Angeles, where he could hit him all day long in practice. He would get people to come here, watch this. Yeah. I could get him in game time situation.
You know what? He actually would hit the big ones though. Like if they fouled him, the hack a Shaq. He would hit some big ones. But the majority of the time, if Shaq had more, I mean, he was so wonderfully gifted and talented. People say if he would have pushed a little bit, pushed a little bit more, he would have no doubt been the best ever. Kobe used to get mad at him because he didn't practice. He didn't research. He would just show me, like, I'm the Shaq daddy, and dominate the game.
Well, this time that I'm talking about was when he had just signed with the Magic. He hadn't even put on a Magic uniform yet.
92, 93, something like that.
And I was working at the radio station. You know, I was working at Real Radio, and I would go out, because that's where the station was, over by the racquetball club, and I met this dude named Shaquille O'Neal. And then Buzz Brayman came in on the show several times to tell us about it. And anyway, so my point was, there was a point, a time there where I was like, ooh, I can play basketball.
I think Shaq is the most mentioned celebrity on the Monster Show. I think we've mentioned Shaq probably.
You think?
I don't know.
It's up there. Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Aside from Kiss, you know, I think Shaq, because he just ends up in so many of our conversations.
And he's likable.
He's very likable.
Super likable guy. All right, you want to play a little trivia? You want to win some stuff? Well, you might want to get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to the Monsters in the Morning.
I know you think I'm a psychopath, Democrat lurking in the dark. This sucks, I'm the Kmart soldier, so do trash, I kept the stash. Coca candy, straight from Japan. Hologram, and she was never as young.
things for your mind.
The Triple R segment at 8:40, brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Currently working with them right now. And the service is really amazing. They make buying a house so easy. They're licensed lenders that help get you into a home. And they, I mean, jump through all kinds of hoops. I just got an email this morning from my buddy Brad Siebert, who is the owner of WeAreNotTheBanks.com. And, you know, they keep you informed with your loan every day. They let you know what's going on. They've made it easy for me to go from one home to another. And, you know, it just couldn't be a better service. A lot of people that I know have used WeAreNotTheBanks.com. That's who you should use for sure. I will tell you, stand behind that company. I definitely recommend them. You know, this is an endorsement. I definitely endorse them. they make me look good. They're such a good company. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Certified home buyer. If you're a certified home buyer, here's what they do. They'll say, listen, if we fail to close on a certified home buyer, we'll pay the seller $5,000. This way, the seller is more likely to want to work with you than anyone else. They're like, oh, you're working with We Are Not the Banks? Yeah, we'd rather work with that company. They're great folks. WeAreNotTheBanks.com. That's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert and his staff. Doesn't matter what kind of loan you need, whether it's a VA loan, an FHA loan, a good credit, bad credit, whatever you got, they can work with you and they will work with you. Brad Siebert and his incredible staff over there. WeAreNotTheBanks.com. I can't thank Brad enough. He's really helping me buy this new house. And, you know, there's some hoops to jump through when you're going from one home to another. And as far as the money you got to put down, and then you got to get the money from the first house to get. And he's helping me work it all out, man. And the guy's great. It's Brad Siebert, and WeAreNotTheBanks.com. What prizes do we have today, Angel? And another great client that I'll be using that we, it definitely is an endorsement. Cento Moving, right?
Absolutely. The Prize Beyond is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company. Whenever the monsters need to move, we have used Cento Family Moving and Storage. We all have our individual experiences with them, and one of the reoccurring themes that it makes moving day that much more manageable.
Yeah, it does, and you know, I have learned to get out of their way. Before, I thought I'd had to help them or whatever. No, Russ, get out of their way. It's what they do. They know how to do it. And so this time I'm going to even let them do the china and silverware. Because I tried to do it myself because I thought I was helping them. I'm a moron. I'm going to help them. And I packed the stuff wrong and I broke some of my stuff. And it was my fault. And not their fault, my fault. And this time I'm going to allow them to do it because, hey, you know what? You save money if you let someone do it who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, and almost take care of your stuff better than you do. And you've busted your ass to acquire the things that you have in your home. You like that comfort of knowing that they are going to take the time and be meticulous of how they pack your stuff away and then how they deliver it.
I mean, for me, it's like the stuff I'm allowed to keep, I at least don't want it to break. You know what I'm saying?
That's Cento Family Moving and Storage. Get your quick instant moving quote online today at CentoMoving.com. That is CentoMoving.com. We have a pair of general admission passes to the Arnold Palmer Invitational March 4th through the 10th at Bay Hill.
Carlos, get you some of them tickets. You need to go talk
to... What is it, March what?
It's March the 4th through the 10th at Bay Hill.
Oh, let me see.
It's one of those life experiences that I look back and I'm like, I wasn't that excited about going when I went because I'm not a golfer. You know, I don't golf. But I'm like, okay, I'll go so I can say...
You're not a golfer?
No. So I can say that I've been to... big tournament, and this is Bay Hill.
But as one of the things that we say, you know, signature Orlando event kind of things. This is one of them, and it's a cool experience.
So if I went on that Saturday, that'd probably be a good day, right?
That would probably be the most difficult.
What about Friday after the show?
Friday after the show is what I would do. And you go out there. Now, I know you don't drink, but you can go out there and have some refreshments or whatever and just walk around.
Actually,
it's cool.
Los, you know what's really trippy? What's really a lot of fun?
What?
When you go to the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and you actually drink an Arnold Palmer.
Oh, they serve them there.
Yeah, they do.
Oh,
yeah.
I would take a picture of that and flex on the gram. That's a perfect. An Arnold Palmer at the Arnold Palmer. Yeah.
Now, when I went, I will say something I'll never forget. I'm walking down the fairway or wherever, and someone goes, hey, there's Arnold. And I looked, and there he was in his backyard waving at people.
Hello, everybody. It's so good to see you.
Yes. Everybody, get down.
Not that Arnold. It was Arnold Palmer.
Here comes the golf ball. Everybody on the chopper. Get down.
Yeah, I may do that. I'm going to do that. I got it on my schedule. We'll see.
All right, so if you want to get your tickets, you can buy tickets or register to win house pass, clubhouse passes. Go to realradio.fm/API. We also have, and this is cool, a Wassey's cooking class is Taste of the West with Trey Scarborough. And that's going down February the 23rd from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. For tickets, go to wassiesmeatmarket.com. Well, now, when I tell everybody this, it's one of the cool things because they do this all in the Big Green Egg, and they feed you, and you're eating great food. This is the chef, Trace. He's coming in. He's doing Thunderbird Rub. Trace puts a spin on Taste of the West with some wonderful foods from the class. You got Bravo Shrimp with a Witter Bird Sauce. You got Early Bird Brined Chicken Scratch Chops, and we also have Cranberry Relish and Bravo Southwest Lamb Skewers. All of this.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, and it's done right there, and he shows you the techniques and the seasoning, all of the things that you do, and it's easy to, give you ideas to use on your Big Green Egg. That's going down February the 23rd. If you want to get your tickets yourself, go to wassiesmeatmarket.com. We also have a pair of tickets to see Blues Traveler at the House of Blues Saturday, March the 9th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets, go to livenation.com.
What's that? The big guy that sings for Blues Traveler. What's his name?
John Popper.
John Popper. There you go.
And we wrap it up with a pair of tickets to see the Orlando Apollos versus the Memphis Express February the 23rd, this Saturday, at Spectrum Stadium. For tickets, go to MonstersEndZone.com.
Yeah, MonstersEndZone.com will be there. Of course, it's a tailgate party. Starts at 4 o'clock. Angel will be there spinning the tunes. We'll be there partying. It's this Saturday. Last time we had a great crowd. Hope to have even a bigger crowd this time because the weather looks like it's going to be absolutely perfect.
It's going to be fun.
And now you're coming out, right, Carlos?
Yeah.
Okay, and then Ryan, you'll be there too?
Oh, definitely.
And of course, Angel will be working.
Yeah, we actually had a great conference call yesterday in regards to what we're going to do with music and everything. So it's going to be a lot more fun.
Now, I'm bringing the proper 12 for you. You and I.
Dangle that carrot in front of my face over and over again. Same bottle I've had for a month and a half now. Haven't had one sip.
All right, let's get
and those are the prizes in the prize pinata.
Thank you. 407-916-1041. Is that Dino?
Yes.
Dino from Daytona. You're on Real Radio. What's up, Dino?
Yo, Monster.
Hey, I got a trivia question for you. And if you get it right, you can take whatever prize you want. What prize do you want?
The golf ticket.
Golf ticket. Yeah, boy, tell you what, that's a lot of fun to go to that. All right, well, if you get it right, you can win those. And if you don't get it right, then maybe Angel or Carlos or Ryan Holmes will get it right for you, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, name the shoe company that started as a company that only sold rain boots. What shoe company, famous shoe company now, started out as a company that only sold rain boots?
I'm going to go with Dockers.
Dockers is incorrect.
Dockers.
You already said Dockers. That's all right. Who do you want to help? You've got Angel, you've got Carlos, and you got Ryan Holmes.
I don't know why I said Dockers. I meant Doc Martin. But anyway, I'm going to go with Angel.
Angel Rivera. Name the shoe company that started out as a company that only sold rain boots.
L.L. Bean.
L.L. Bean is incorrect. 407-916-1041.
I almost bought a pair of duck boots. That's why I said them.
Oh, I like those duck boots. Yeah. I don't know if they're manly, but I like them.
What are you talking about? There's nothing more manly than a duck boot.
I think they're for girls, aren't they?
No.
Oh, hey, Manny from Sanford. You're on Real Radio.
Hola, señor. ¿Cómo estamos?
Hey, you speak English.
Hey.
Your cousin.
Manny. Okay,
I'm kidding, Manny. I'm teasing.
When I was younger, that happened to me, too.
Oh, did it really?
The lady told me to go back to where I came from, and I said, I was born in New York.
All right, name the shoe company that started out as a company that only made rain boots.
I don't know, Puma?
Puma. Not Puma?
A wet Puma.
Who do you want to help? You've got Carlos, you've got Ryan Holmes.
Let's go with Carlito.
Carlito.
All right.
Name the shoe company. Started out as a company that just made rain boots.
They just made rain boots.
That's all they did. When they started in 1908.
They weren't comfortable on your feet.
Huh?
Were they comfortable on your feet?
Which one?
The shoes.
I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know?
Mm-mm. It's a famous company now, though. Everybody knows the shoe now.
Everybody knows?
That was epic.
Everybody knows the shoe now.
Everybody knows the shoe now.
Yep.
Like the whole world.
Yes.
The master at work right here.
What shoes are you wearing right now? Just out of curiosity.
These are my big, I don't even know what they're called.
Oh, those are Garth.
I want to go to the Apollos game. Come on.
I want you to go to the Apollos game, too. I do. And I'm trying to figure out why Russ picked this question. What's the swerve? He owns, like, LA Gears and a pair of Timberlands. but I'm going to go with...
the light-up ones.
Skechers.
Skechers is incorrect. I'm so sorry. 407-916.
I have no way. What I was trying to pry. Nothing. He gave me nothing.
Jason, you're on with the Monsters. What's up, Jason?
What's up?
Hi, buddy. Name the shoe company that started off as a company that sold rain boots.
I'm going to say New Balance.
New Balance is wrong. Ryan Holmes.
Oh, man.
Come on, Ryan.
What prize are you trying to win, man?
Apollo's game.
Okay, I'll be there. And if I get this wrong, you won't be, so you can't beat me up. Okay.
Let me give you a hint.
But he can't buy a beer.
I would
can
love
I give
it.
You a hint?
Yeah, yeah, you can.
A hint would have been lovely.
They did rain boots, and then someone in the company became a fan of the NBA. And this was...
Converse.
Converse is correct.
Yeah! All right.
How'd you get it from that clue?
Chuck Taylor, yeah. NBA. Oh, well, yeah.
There you go. Congratulations, sir. You're going to go to the Apollos game?
Yes, sir.
You owe me a beer.
Let me put you on hold. You owe Ryan Holm a beer. Yeah. Someone in the company started like... Now, this was back in...
Man, this is in the very beginning,
1920.
Huh?
The NBA wasn't that big then.
No,
but
there was no NBA.
Well, it says here it was.
It just started.
In the 20s?
1920, yeah. And it just started. And so they're like, hey, let's make a special shoe for that game that they're playing. They will call it All-Stars. And they... And did the transition from rain boots to Converse, and that was the first shoe of the NBA. That's the reason I asked it, because you and you and Angel love the NBA.
I should have guessed that. I didn't realize that the NBA, I thought the NBA was not alone. I thought there was an ABA or something like that, but
that
anyway,
ABA
the guy got into
a,
yeah.
Did
the guy
it
got
start
into
off
it.
As the Chuck Taylor All-Star shoe? Because if so, the Chuck Taylor's been out way longer than like a Jordan, right? So like,
no, the Chuck Taylor is the longest branded shoe. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it initially came, but it came with the star on it.
Basketball was popular. The NBA was founded in 1946. So it wasn't then, but the guy got into basketball.
Yeah,
obviously. I hate to tell you, Russ, but the NBA was founded in 1946.
Well, I was shocked myself. I was like, I didn't think it was that been around that long. But
when did the Harlem Globetrotters start?
Converse started making the basketball shoe in 1917. They redesigned it in 1922 when Chuck Taylor asked the company to create a better shoe with more support and flexibility for basketball. Yeah. And so at that time, there were barnstorming leagues around
so
the country.
So it wasn't the NBA.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. All right, well, listen. Hey, well, don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. It is Wednesday. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Coming up in a little bit for the nerdy news, but I always ask Jeff to come in a little early to hang out with us. Jeff Coffin is here, and he got to hang out. We all hung out together on Saturday. Welcome out to the Monsters. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes and Jeff Coffin. Jeff, you came out to, this is kind of cool. You've become buddies you've become close with a lot of the people on our YouTube channel. YouTube's coming back right now. And you've become friends with them, and you went out on a run. Not a run, it was like a mud, run, right?
Yeah, we did a mud run with a bunch of people from the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know, the Morgans, you know, a bunch of other people like that, Sam, Chris, a bunch of these people, Tammy.
Yeah, yeah, it had two words in it I didn't like, mud and run.
we're kind of old. We didn't like run as much as we could. Like, they had kids, and these kids, like, took off, and I told them my job is to make sure everyone finishes.
Oh.
Which means I could be the slowest gazelle.
You weren't racing, you were just making sure you got it done.
No, it was about 3 miles, a little hot, you know, a bunch of walls to climb over, you know, I was offering, you know, I had my knee out there, it was like old army days,
yeah,
helping people above.
Oh, yeah, so, you were helping them get over the wall and all that stuff. Yeah.
And then
you joined us out at Slow and Low Barbecue,
which was really good.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was good. That was some good food, man.
The food is great.
Angel hooked me up with the tips, right?
Yeah, burnt ends.
The burnt ends were good,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, those. I took a photo for Carlos because I promised. There was no way they were going to make
those,
it back.
Those things weren't. I mean, they were setting them on the table, and it was like
they were good.
That burnt ends, man. They were good. Russ sent it to me, and I just was like, oh, so sad.
I remember, it with just like a pickled onion too, which is really good. Yeah, it's
I remembered
good.
You wanted them, but there's no way they were going to make it back in the car the next day.
I told you I would have given you Tupperware. It would have been a couple by the time we got off the boat. And everything. Because they just left me. They're like, hey, let's go back to the hotel. We'll Uber over, and I'm there waiting. And I get this call from one of the promotion guys. Hey man, why aren't you here?
Super
Russ
Dave.
And them are all here. I'm going, what do you mean Russ is here? I'm waiting.
Well, we had to make an executive decision right at the end because Russ. Well, he was the most laid back as far as time and that I've seen him be ever.
Yeah.
So we were actually getting to the boat later than usual, and I'm like, well, Russ doesn't seem to be worried about it, so I guess we don't need to leave yet. Then we get very close to time.
And Mary Ellen was like, you need to get him there. He'll freak out.
Yeah, so I just ended up driving us to the boat and not stopping, but we forgot to inform you of that.
Yeah, I'm like, where's Jeff? Where's Jeff? And you were waiting for us back at the hotel. But we went on the casino cruise together, and I had a lot of fun playing cards with you, even though I know all the shots that we had done and the drinking we had done had me splitting fours, which never is a good idea when you're playing blackjack. In case you write that down, Carlos. Well, don't ever
done.
Don't split fours.
Yeah, you need to get legal. Sitting there yelling at the dealer. It's not yelling at the dealer. He was just like going, you know, I really don't like you. You're probably this nice person, but you're kind of a blank. And I was like, dude, I know you can't get kicked off a boat, but they got to have some boat jail somewhere on this thing.
Oh, he was taking every single, I mean, we were losing left and right. And I'm like, you're probably a really nice person, but I do not like you right now. Because, everything, he was just winning every hand.
Russ doesn't have a betting pattern. He just kind of like pushes whatever chips he can think about in front of him at all times. Here's like 50. Here's 10. Here's 5. I'm like, do you know how you're betting?
Believe it or not, there is a pattern. If I start with you know, like 2 chips, and then if I lose the 2 chips, then I'll bet 4 chips. And if I lose those 4 chips, then I'll bet 8 chips, figuring I'll get it all back. Not a good plan, but it's my plan.
There was a plan. I think there was a plan. And where's the drinks? I'm like, we just had 4. What the hell? They were serious, man. It was a lot of fun.
It was a good time, though. I enjoyed playing with you. It was a lot of fun. And you ended up doing pretty well at the end of the night.
Well, the minute you got parked somewhere because you got kind of lost for like 2 hours because Mary Ellen was like, where's Russ? Yeah. I don't know. It's like, where's Waldo? We couldn't find you.
Yeah, I think I probably fell asleep somewhere.
I think you did. Because, you know, Mary Ellen was kind of questioning. And I said, well, let me just hit this table. And the dealer threw me like 13 straight hands.
Nice.
Yeah, so I took the money and ran.
Yeah.
And then hung out with a bunch of the people who sung the national anthem. They were there.
Oh, yeah. The girl that sang the national anthem. I forgot to tell you that, Carl. The girl that sang the national anthem at the Monster Jam.
Yeah.
Her and her sister came. And
did they sing to kick off the gambling?
No. They just were gambling. And
gamblers
then,
ready?
No.
Oh, say.
Jeff, did you see Ryan Holmes' stand-up comedy bit?
How'd it go? I felt it.
How'd it go?
I felt it.
It went great.
I didn't, half the time I was lost on the boat. I didn't know where to go.
I wrote him some material. It was.
You know what? It's always awesome to do comedy in the discotheque of a gambling cruise.
On the way back.
On the way back. Because I'll tell you.
At like 11 at night.
On the way back from a gambling cruise. Is they should test it. It's the most happy people can ever be. Yeah. It's literally because you've been on a
very
gambling boat.
Very respectful. Didn't at all heckling right from the start.
I wanted to kill my own self on the way out of that boat because it was so long to get out of there.
Yeah.
And so your wonderful comedy may have not matched up, I'm assuming.
It helped. No, he actually killed it first and then bombed. killed, bombed.
Because I was being heckled and I started getting frustrated like right from go.
Listeners? By fellow?
No, this is not a listener.
It was Russ. Russ was heckling.
And then I went at some lady who was yelling at me and then I just lost the crowd right then. Oh, buddy. I couldn't turn it around.
Nah.
So, Jeff, what's going on in the news today? Anything?
Well, Miley Cyrus. It's really interesting. You know, you can be sued for anything nowadays. And I'm a lawyer, and I don't sue for anything. But this is a weird one. Any song can be said that, oh, you got this from somewhere else. You got this from somewhere. Every line, every concept. And Miley Cyrus has been sued by this reggae act.
For what?
It's We Can't Stop.
I don't know.
And it's... because she says We Can't Stop 3 times, she's being sued by this Jamaican artist who goes, I put it in my song and I said it 9 times. And they're having this weird federal argument over We Can't Stop, you can write that or can't write it.
Hey, but Jeff, is the thought process, hey, look, here's something a little bit similar. Let me sue this artist and they might just pay me to go away. Is there that sort of thought process?
a lot of times some people, it could be attention. You know, a lot of artists who aren't well known will say, no, that sounds like me. And in comic books, it's the same way. When you write something, people go, oh, I wrote a vampire like that. It was never published, but I wrote it. And you might have heard it, me say it online. Yeah. I mean, everything people think you stole everything. Now, sometimes they do steal it. Sometimes it's obviously, you know, like a Vanilla Ice, Ice Baby is, you know, the Queen
Under
song.
Pressure, yeah.
I mean, you should have to write that check if you steal it that much. But
every time I hear Under Pressure, I listen to it almost every day because it kind of comes through my mix, I think of that Vanilla Ice clip when he's like, no. He's like, doom, 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 doom. He's like, mine is like, doom, 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 doom.
Doing extra, yeah.
And I remember watching like, he's got a point.
He's got a good point there.
I mean, remember Alfonso Rivera?
Rivera?
Yes.
Okay, he says he owns the right to the dance. The Carlton
dance, yeah.
Okay, where he sways his hand, he does his thing. And he was just making fun of the way white people dance.
I thought he was making fun of Tom Jones, but yeah.
It's a song. He dances to Tom Jones, it's the back and forth.
He was making fun of the way white people dance, no doubt about it. But that is the Carlton, and then they put it in Fortnite, right?
Well, they name it the Carlton because he does the white guy dance. Yeah, right? Right. They can't call it the white guy
and
dance.
And Lisa Turtle has the sprain, and several other sitcom characters, you know, have these dances that are only popular because they performed it perfectly.
But he did not win the lawsuit, did he?
Well, could you imagine this white federal judge is sitting there going, what's the difference between a routine and an actual dance?
Yeah.
He's got to, like, there isn't even law that defines this. So it's like how the Supreme Court used to determine what porn was. They knew it if they saw it.
Right.
So they would go in the back room and watch all this porn. And if it worked for them, they'd go, oh, that's porn.
Yeah, but it's porn.
I mean, now
Alfonso, did he has to go to court for this? Does he have to do the dance in front of the judge?
He did sue, and the court found out there. They dismissed it.
Oh, really?
There's not enough precedence. There's not enough
Could you imagine this one going, okay, I do the Saturday Night Live point up and down, and if you see that anywhere and you do that, you get sued for it.
Yeah, but Jeff, I think the big difference is, like, for example, the Backpack Kid who created the floss. Okay, we all know what the floss is, right? Where you break the stick this side, and then every kid does this all
everywhere.
Day long, everywhere.
There's a kid doing it right now.
Okay, and they used to do the dab, now they do the floss, right? There's one kid who really started that. Katy Perry put him on stage. His has been ripped off everywhere. He created it. He should have.
Well, I hate to tell you. What? But there's videos that came out before kid.
Oh, well, you know what? Whoever the person is initially did it, he's the one who got really famous for it, though.
It's a movement, not a song.
It's a dance.
It's not like it's a movement. It's like, you know, if you walk back and see some Native American dancers, you go, oh, no, we stole this dance from the Native American. It's a movement.
So if you create a dance, or if, let's say you don't create it, but if you go and you get the a copyright for it, like okay, what's the guy that has Are You Ready to Rumble?
Don't do that.
Okay, that guy. Okay, so that dude.
I'm serious. That guy sues for a lot of money, so don't even joke around with
that. How is he able to make it so you can't say those words?
He copyrighted those words.
So if you can copyright those stupid words, why can't you copyright or trademark a floss dance?
It's harder to trademark a movement because you can't say exactly when it was created because you can go back and find out people moving like this. It's like, oh, well, I did this, and you did this. It's like those FedEx commercials where the guy says, that was my idea. No, I did it like this. It's really harder to do because words are very clear.
Yeah.
Actions are a lot harder. And in fact, this guy even decided, he goes, well, there's a difference between routine and a couple steps. And he actually was trying to describe it. And he was, and I feel bad that the judge was sitting there going,
let me ask a question. So let's say Carlos goes to you and says, I want to get the trademark on Bacana. Right?
Yeah,
which I
should have it.
Bacana. Yeah, I created it. It's mine. And then he does it in a couple movies and it hits one time. And then he catches someone else saying Bacana. Can he could sue them.
If he trademarks it, yes, he absolutely can sue
them. Dude, you need to trademark it.
I know, I should.
It might be a little too late, though.
I did the old school where I send myself a letter and
I did that. Yeah. Back to the Future? I know. A picture of you and Doc Brown.
Well, Jeff, let me ask you. I had heard that if you write a letter and you say a saying and you send it to yourself, it's documentation and proof that you kind of had said this before. So I think I did it with To the Top Never Stop. And I'm serious.
Is this back when you were drinking?
Maybe. Okay. But have you ever heard of that?
There's little things on TV. You know,
there's something
it can.
There.
I mean, at least it says that somebody can't steal it from you because you've been using it for this period of time. And when I say steal it, I mean somebody trademarked. Like Paris Hilton tried to trademark It's So Hot. I mean, what is wrong with
she
you?
She did, though, right?
No. They shut her down. down. They said, no, you okay. can't do that. Everyone says it's so hot.
Quick question, though. And this goes right down to the roots of the bacata.
Oh, okay. Yes,
bacata. If Carlos is the first one to do that and protect it, then he's the one that gets it, right? Because
there are people saying that other people have said it before.
Bacata has been around, as far as Latinos are concerned, since Spain conquered this side of the world.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of it until Carlos.
Well,
oh,
yeah. There's no reason for you to hear it, Russ.
You wouldn't have been in those circles where, yeah, exactly. like, literally, mira, entra en la casa ahora, te voy a dar una bacata.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always thought it was something Carlos made up.
No, but I mean,
Carlos misappropriated from his own people.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a cultural appropriation. Yeah.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I'm a kind of.
I robbed my own house. It
right.
was great.
It was. I'll tell you this. Here's another funny one. I thought that I created. Bow chicka bow bow.
Oh jeez!
I swear to God, I was 17 years old on the show, and I remember going bow chicka bow, and y'all laughed, and I was like. Guess nobody's done that before. And then I heard it on Friends. And I was like, they must have listened to this.
They stole it from
they
you.
They stole it from me.
Oh, I had a friend of mine who thinks she created What's Up.
Oh,
I mean, she would swear by it. Maria would go, I created that. And I'm going, you didn't create What's Up. Yeah. Stop it.
To the Top Never Stop, though. That's mine. Yeah. And then my wife and I, we created that way back in the day. Broke as hell. No positivity. No nothing. So I'll fight for that one. But pretty much everything else I've ripped
out. Swirls is mine.
Yeah.
No, actually, Bo. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll find out what's going on with the nerdy news. By the way, Jeff Kaufman here. If you need to get hold of him for any legal stuff, it is whenyouneedus.com. That's whenyouneedus.com. And if you want to get a copy of our comic book, with Jolly Jane, issue 2 is out. Carlos is in issue 2. And you can get it by going to bigcitycomics.com. And when you send, people love it. The guy that came out to Slow and Low, not only did you send him the book, and not only did you send him the print, but also some other cool stuff. So you know,
we always put secret stuff in there to cool people out.
Yeah. All right. We'll do the nerdy news when we come back. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Real Radio Sports Football. The Orlando Apollos return home to face the Memphis Express this Saturday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. on Real Radio 104.1.
Hey, this segment, the Nerdy News, brought to you by Kaufman and Lynn, and whenyouneedus.com. It's whenyouneedus.com. I will tell you, I've seen Jeff Kaufman help a lot of different people by working with him for the past couple years or whatever. How long have we been working on that comic book? It's been about almost 2 years, right? A year and a half.
Yeah, solid.
I've seen Jeff help a lot of people. He's got a good heart, and he'll help you if you got something going on, if you need that. It's whenyouneedus.com. And Craig Lynn's a great guy.
Yeah, Craig, he's a big boy.
He looks like a superhero.
Yeah, he could probably do a Captain America.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yes.
Yeah. An older Captain America.
You ain't got to call him old, damn. he doesn't look old.
He's in his 40s, but yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's going on with the nerdy news?
Well, let's cover a couple things. Again, we did the Dirty Nerdy News run with the Morgan, Sam, Chris, Tammy, and Robert. Had a great time. As we know, Netflix has canceled every Marvel show officially.
That was big news, right?
All of it. So they can't. Last night, they finally canceled Jessica Jones.
And that Punisher,
was,
right?
Yep. That was coming.
So
they've come up with different excuses why, but it's all nonsense. The fact is that Disney wants to open up their own channel. But this is the interesting thing about Netflix, because I heard Carlos talking about it on the way in. Netflix wants to own their shows because they want to air them forever. And if they don't, then after 2 years, it goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
So there, a lot of people believe it's that, but Marvel just wanted to take their stuff and go. Take their ball and go home.
So now Netflix, they can do superhero type movies or whatever, but they've got to be their own characters they create.
Yeah, they're also buying different companies. Like they could buy Big City Comics. Let's say we go to, Jolly Jane. Hey. Carlos goes, I'm getting the show.
Yeah.
But the point was they want to own their own product.
Yeah.
And because they make more money that way, because they had to pay Marvel like $100 million.
That's the name of the game, especially with the Fox and Disney link up. It's an arms race to content and proper. Like, so that's why Netflix is fully investing in $3 billion a year, whatever the hell it is.
Okay, Jeff, how would you shoot an idea like that at them? Like, hey, here's a concept. Here's a comic book. It's from Big City Comics called Jolly Jane. Who pitches that? Or you just got to hope that they pick up the comic book and get the idea?
Yeah. You heard the term showrunner. A lot of these times, somebody goes, I really love this idea. I love this character. Let's do it. Like, if we're at Comic-Con and we have a 12-foot by 10-foot image of Jolly Jane and somebody goes, ooh, I like that.
So that's what you're batting for, right? That's why that's why we go to these conventions. We're going to MegaCon here in Orlando, going out to San Diego to the big one, and we're hoping that the right person sees Jolly Jane and like, hey, this is a really great comic book, and makes it into a movie.
So you say there's a chance. Yeah, I've been there for 12 years. That's just why staying on the floor.
That's why we put Carlos in as a character, because we got an actor that is the character.
I'm down. Well, I put Carlos in because I thought it'd be really cool. Yeah. I said, you know, when you're able to put somebody you know in there in a really cool role and sell it, it's a cool thing to be able to do. I mean, Supernatural, the director is in they named a character after him, and it's fun to be able to be part of it.
And in book two, Angel is in book two as a doctor.
Yeah, in volume two, Dr. Angel.
Dr. Rivera.
But, you know that certainly, they ask if these shows are coming back, like Luke Cage. Oh, is it coming back to Marvel? Well, they're going to have to wait 2 years. Plus, the actor, Mike Coulter, is starring in a supernatural thriller called Evil.
No way.
On CBS.
No way they recast the same people. No way. I think Disney's going to start fresh. I just don't see him. None of those shows. Punisher did okay. Jessica Jones was good for the first year. Very popular.
Well, Michael Colton is a great actor. It's hard to fit actors into specific roles. Like, Blade is one of those tough things. I can't see any actor other than Wesley Snipes. Now, they can find some guy and say, no, this guy's like iconic too. But you have to shoot for iconic with certain characters. And it's just the way it is. Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. And I know that, Ryan Holmes, you've been watching that, right?
Yeah, I finished the whole first season.
And someone texted it and wanted to know what you thought about it. What's the concept of it?
Umbrella Academy was a 6-issue miniseries on Dark Horse. It was a really good book. It was written by Gerald Way, and the art was pretty fantastic. It was done by Gabriel Ba. It's an A with a dash on it. I don't know. It's not in a tilde, so I don't know what it is. But it was a really good series, and the story, I like the actors in it. It's the actors that are doing it. Like, for example, Ellen Page plays the character that doesn't have powers. It's about a bunch of kids who were born on the same day, and this rich guy adopts them, and they all have superpowers.
Okay.
Other than the one girl who's like treated as the outcast. And it was good. I saw it. I think you got to be a superhero person. You got to be basically into this stuff to love it as much as I did. Other than that, I think it was a good show.
Okay.
But I did see Doom Patrol, which I talked about on Friday.
Yeah,
Doom Patrol
is on
DC Universe Online.
Yeah.
That's the same one that's airing Titans, where I said, and I think DC is failing to get people to actually download the app. I mean, that's the only thing they're failing on. These products are the best superhero shows on television.
Yeah, I'm a big superhero guy, and I still haven't done it because I don't understand how to get the app on my TV.
You have it, though. You have the thing.
Don't you have a smart TV?
I do, but I looked for it, and I looked how to get it. I could not figure out how to put there's no option for DC Universe to go up.
When you go to your smart TV, you have an app store.
No.
How do you access your smart TV? Is it Roku? Is it your straight up Samsung
TV?
Screw it,
I'm buying you FireWire. I'm just getting you a FireWire connector. Okay. I'm going to Best Buy. I'm getting you the USB, and you're plugging the thing in.
Any of them, categories, type in the thing. Boom, it's there. I just downloaded a couple apps, DAZN, and a couple of these things. So it's there. It's pretty really easy to access.
But
people don't know about it, Jeff.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, Doom Patrol is. I watched the first episode. Ridiculously good.
Really?
Ridiculously good. And I'm kind of tough on these things. And it was just the actors they have for it, I mean, are unbelievable. Matt Bomer is on there. Alan Tudyk. Brendan Fraser.
Oh, cool.
But Brendan Fraser's... I'm positive it's 2019. I won't say he looks a little chunky.
Oh, I saw a photo of him. You're right.
But they have him getting in a race car because the history behind his character is he's a race car driver.
Yeah.
And watching Brendan Fraser's big ass kind of go through those things.
Yeah, fat guys can get race cars.
I felt bad because, listen, I don't like – shoot me from above. Make me do the duck face all day long. But, I mean, they should have
– I love
the weird angles they
put
him on.
I thought he was great in the Mummy movies, you know. And then now he's another guy that got out of Hollywood because didn't someone come on to him or something?
He got touched by a – dude, like a producer guy, grabbed him between his legs, and he like went on about it, and he was kind of blackballed there for a second.
That's what I heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's strange because when we do like San Diego or something else, you know, every once in a while, some dude will you know get a little too dude-ish with you.
Yeah.
And I've been grabbed in places, and you know I try not to think about it, because I'm from the generation of walking it off. But if I was a woman, I would be I'd be hold on a second, you don't do this, but. I don't know if men are expected to like, hey.
Someone grabs my junk, I ain't walking it off,
no,
Jeff.
No, there's something to be said for like the not gay, gay alpha male. Like it's this version of a dude, he's a real aggressive guy,
But like, he gets drunk enough or weird enough, and he'll just kind of grab you.
You want to talk about this, Ryan?
What? Yeah, I would like to
I've never been around the horny.
You never had a dude grab you?
Yeah, dude.
It's a version of a person. That was actually scary.
You know, talk about.
It took me 7 shots to forget that moment.
Yeah,
my guy just happened to end up being a ninja.
I mean, he could have killed us all.
Yeah, like flying roundhouse kicks, and it's like, Carlos, you got to take one for the team, buddy. It's like, all right, guys, we'll remember this.
But that guy does exist.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's not gay, but he'll do, like, really gay stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a closeted issue. I think he actually might be gay.
Because I've never hung around dudes that played grab ass.
No, you've never been around. Like, there's this dude that it's not. They're almost, for lack of a better term, they're almost asexual. To them, it's all sex.
Yeah.
It's
like not. What is that, Pan-lobian or whatever the hell?
Yeah, it's not about hooking up with a dude or hooking up with a woman.
It's just about a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because Jersey, they grab your package and they think it's funny. I don't find it funny.
That's not funny.
Especially when you're in the bathroom. So, hey, that was funny. No, it really wasn't, dude.
I don't want anybody grabbing my package, number one, except it's my wife. And second, like, let's say, like, some hot girl thought I was hot, right? And she's like, I'm going to go grab his package, right? Yeah. And then they walk up and grab the package. I'm not prepared. She's going to be disappointed. Yeah, yeah. It's barely awake.
So much. Yeah.
There's so many things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm a grower, not a shower. Yes.
Well, getting back to Alita Battle Angel.
We went down a path on this end. Yeah,
Battle Angel flopped bigger than hell.
No, it did not flop. It made more than they expected. It made $43 million.
And how much did it make?
$43 million in domestically.
That's good. That's really good.
It's going to do well. Worldwide.
What did it cost?
It's 170, but okay. I promise you, in the next 6 weeks, they're going to crush over like 200.
What do you think, Jeff? I really want to see it. I tell you this, advertising straight up, you did it. I was not interested in this film. The commercials, the trailers were like, this is a one of a kind thing. It got me a little bit more interested. I'd love to hear your opinion.
Well, my partner Craig saw it on Saturday. He goes, I liked it. You got to see it. So Sunday night, I went out to see it after, you know, I might have had some residual from the boat and watching you draw split force. Yeah. But I was sitting there. I was going, yeah, this isn't bad. I would give it an 8. I think the effects were easily a 9, 10.
Was the story good?
What's different about this film that they keep trying to say? I understand it's like the magma or what's the term? What's the anime term?
It's anime. It's
magma country. Yeah, no, but there's a specific wide-eyed anime, and I can't remember the name, but that's why people were getting upset, like, oh, they made her eyes, whatever. It's like, well, that's the specific.
First of all, she was a robot.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that was robot eyes.
Yeah.
But I thought it was well done. I looked at it. I said, this is a solid movie, and I think I think if you're not into comic books, don't go.
Oh, really? Because I'm not into comic books.
If you don't like comic book movies and you're, like, griping about these things, you know, because there's a futuristic concept of it, and you have to suspend your disbelief. But I thought it was a solid movie. And I think it's doing really well. And it's funny because it came out against a romantic comedy, Isn't It Romantic, which my wife saw, and she said it was okay.
Who is in that?
That's the chunky blonde girl.
Rebel Wilson.
Rumor?
Yeah, it looked funny.
Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, she said my daughter and her went because not, you know, my daughter's turned over to the dark side. She don't want to go to movies
with
him.
How much money did it make?
14.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but you think that they're introducing this movie, that this is the first chick flick out in a while, and I thought this, especially her, since she has a good following,
yeah,
that it didn't do as well.
Would you say, what's the Bradley Cooper one? That's a chick flick, right?
Oh, which one?
Star is Born. Oh, hell yeah, but it's a good movie.
It's a
solid movie, yeah. and the acting is fantastic, and you got Oscars and all this stuff. So yeah, I definitely go to that one, too. It's strange how movies are holding. Aquaman did $1.8 million last week.
Aquaman's still doing well. Did you see, there's a story on this morning where this girl, she's a Girl Scout. And, you know, when you sell Girl Scout cookies, they got the Samoas. But she got a picture of Jason Momoa and put them on there, and she sold them as Momoas.
Women are buying them.
The moms are buying them left and right.
It tastes like patchouli and weed.
So if he wanted to, could Jason Momoa sue that little girl?
I don't know. Yeah, you say because you're not allowed to use people's likenesses and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
She made
the news. She's like an 8-year-old girl, and she's got this picture of Jason Momoa, and she's putting on the cookies, and people are buying them. And I mean, I guess if someone wants to be a real jerk, they can close her down.
I think Jason Momoa should do that.
I would love to see that. Yeah. Jason Momoa just comes in and drop kicks the table.
I honestly was going to go home, and I was going to write a fake story about that and try to get a bunch of hits.
That's good.
But I said, you know what? Okay, I'm telling you right now. I'm going to go home and write a fake story about that, and I'm going to put it up, and let's see how many people buy it, because it's funny.
Jason Momoa's people are looking this over.
Jason Momoa is suing.
He's upset.
I don't know if this is a good idea, because what he's going to get pissed off is us for doing the fake story.
We can only hope.
Well, that's why I'm going to say written by Angel Rivera.
No. Let's not do that.
A man that is stronger and bigger than you, Jason.
No. This is bad.
He's the kind of guy who actually would show up to our house and help her sell the cookies.
Yeah,
I know. I would love to see him behind the guy. You will buy my cookies.
Watch that documentary of him and his wife and his kids that I thought it was a commercial, and it was like this 17-minute thing, and he is a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Really, really fascinating guy.
He was always into Lisa Bonet. That was the thing. He saw her on TV when he was like 11. I'm going to marry her someday. And did.
He's very goal-oriented. I like that. Who's the nerd of the week, Jeff?
Okay. As you know, writing comic books, you know, it's getting an artist to do their work and everything else over
the
years.
That's the hard part, yeah.
You know, people are professionals. Well, there's this artist out there named Mike Perkins. He's done everything from Marvel to DC. He's this British artist. He's actually, you know, spends a lot of time in Florida, does every convention. When you meet somebody who's really popular, very rarely are they just really good human beings. I've met Mike on a bunch of occasions, and I know he's going to be signing at Banff in March, and that's a local store. And he always puts himself out there to give to the fans to help promote comic books at a time where people aren't reading as much. So
yeah.
I'm going to give it to Mike Perkins. I think he's a fantastic guy, and if you want to see him, he's at Banff sometime in March.
Okay, very good. And if you want to get a copy of our comic book, Jolly Jane, you can go to BigCityComics.com. It's BigCityComics.com, and you get a print to go along with that, and maybe something else.
Oh, I always throw in something special. And as far as the law firm goes, you know, this is the deal. Know your attorneys. Don't just hire somebody because you like them on TV.
Yeah, whenyouneedus.com. That's whenyouneedus.com. Thank you, Jeff. Good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
You're listening to The Mosh in the Morning.
Smart speaker for Christmas, huh? Ask it to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, unless you're already listening on a smart speaker, in which case, congratulations.
Because you got it all figured out, man.
You're listening to The Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Remember, you can always get us if you got Alexa or Google. Say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do it for you. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes, all here today. And, if asked this question, what do you think? For the average person, what do you think is, some studies show, that a life-changing amount of money is? What is a life-changing amount of money for the average person?
Average person, I would say for me, I'm just going to go me, I consider myself pretty average.
Mm-hmm.
I got student loan debt. That's pretty high. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff. So it would take about $70,000.
$70,000 is life-changing.
Yeah, because that would get me completely out of debt, and I could just move on with my life. That would change my life.
All right, Angel, a life-changing amount of money.
It all depends on what you consider life-changing, because let's say being debt-free.
Yeah.
And living the lifestyle that I lead right now, I could be quite comfortable without any debt. And it would take me if I had $65,000 right now and I could start at zero debt free with what I make and everything, I would be okay. If you're talking about life changing, whereas I have a driver, I have a barber that comes to my house.
Oh yeah.
I live behind a fortress. I'm being helicoptered in and out and every place.
That sounds awesome. That's like literally my dream.
I'm talking, you know, maybe what, $50 million? I don't know.
I don't think people dream big enough when they were asked this question, because that's what I'm talking about. Carlos, what do you think? The average American, and you know, a lot of people don't think like that. Like, I want a driver. I want a helicopter. I want, you know,
they self-sabotage themselves thinking they don't deserve it.
Probably. Yeah. When asked this question, they were just thinking, man, just paying off my debt. Just paying off my credit cards and my debt. So what do you think the average person in this particular study, this is a New York Post, life-changing?
I'll go low. I'll say $5,000.
It was $19,800 was life-changing for people. It said because, you know, with that random, you know, like $20,000, they could pay off maybe medical bills or student loans, and then they think their life would be so much better if they just pay those things off.
I've I've had that point in time in my life where I paid everything off, and it's called bankruptcy. And it was a good feeling. Until, guess what? You continue living your life,
and then
and you get another credit card, and you get another car, and it's a nice thing to have no debt.
Yeah.
But if you think that's what's going to ultimately make you happy,
it won't.
It'll make you feel better. Like $20,000, my life, that actually fits because, yeah, I got some credit card debt. I got some other little debt here. That's probably more than I would need to cover my current debt, but it would make me feel happy. Would it make me go, I can live my life so much better? I don't think so. I have my house. I have my car, so my interest rate goes up a little bit if I have more debt. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't. Since I've been to the end of a financial road, which is bankruptcy, that other stuff doesn't scare me as bad.
Like, $20,000 is you could blow through that in an hour.
Well, if you're a maniac, yeah, sure.
No. But are you saying, like, for example, if this is what you mean by that, if you were to give me $20,000 right now and I put it directly to the things that I have outstanding, that would directly impact, like, the rest of my week or, you know, the rest of my year would be awesome. I could put that money to bills and within the hour, and the rest of, for the next 6-7 months, there's certain things that would be, you know, like my car's paid off. I don't have rent, or, you know what I'm saying? If I did it that way, that I could spend that in an hour.
Yeah, I don't know where I heard this saying from, but it is, if you gave all the money to, like, let's say you equally dispersed all the money to every single person in the world, it would end up right in the back of the same hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So, like, if you get 20 G's, right? Let's say they hand you the 20 G's. Because like, I'm thinking exactly what I would do. I'd be like, well, I put 5 to pay off the card, and then I probably keep another for this. And so you immediately start doing things that you probably
same behavior.
Yeah, the same behavior you were gifted, not taught.
Yeah, I've also read that, like, you have to know how to spend money. Otherwise, like, no matter how much money you're given, you'll just lose
you'll
it.
Just keep
it's
living.
A mentality. Yeah. I grew up lower middle class. Nobody ever taught me about money.
Yeah.
I continued to struggle with it. I've tried to learn a little bit, but I've seen the people that were taught about finance and money early on, they've been the successful ones. Because it was a common thing. I always just remember my parents going like, we got to work to make money, man. We got to pay these bills. So my mentality was the same thing. And I slowly trying to change that.
Yeah. See, I had a rich dad, and he taught me things that my poor dad did not teach me.
Really?
I should really write a book about that.
Rich, you know,
rich
what?
Dad, poor dad.
Rich dad, poor dad. I have a meeting at a Denny's on Lee Road.
Right that down.
We're discussing that amongst three other broke-ass people. You know how many times I've been pitched a rich dad, poor dad meeting? And I kind of am interested in it now because the book is supposed to be pretty amazing.
I think self-help, you can definitely get some help from that, like overall positive thinking and that kind of thing. I think finances is like something like... is so ingrained in you as a mentality that seems harder to break.
No doubt. Yeah.
Because the way you spend money is so subconscious half the time that you don't even realize you're doing it.
Right.
Like when I add up just my daily coffee and I'm not balling at a Starbucks, like $500 a year just to get
really?
That coffee every morning.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have to. I have a coffee maker at home. You know, like I just make the coffee.
If I added up all my Ryobi tools, I'm telling you, my Ryobi tool. No, that seems to be my only vice. I think I don't think I don't get a lot of other stuff other than music. You know, like my
Ross, give me $20,000. Let's see if this works.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's what YouTube cost me last year. Trust me, it's biting me. It's biting
well,
me. Yes,
changed my life.
Yeah. Okay, a company finally did something that we talked about, or that companies have been talking about. And what do you think the outcome was? And this company decided to go and only be open for 4 days a week. They did this with a big financial services company. They're like, you know what? We're just going to be open 4 days a week instead of 5. What do you think the outcome was?
More productivity, happier employees, all kinds of good stuff.
So you think it was a success?
I think so.
What do you think, Angel?
I don't think it was a success. I don't think they're shutting doors, but I think they've gone back to their old way of doing business.
Not successful. What do you think, Carlos?
There's a book called The 4-Day Work Week that's supposed to be really, really good. I think Germany applies this in some places, and they say it's very efficient. But if this is the first time it's going, it might have some bumps. So I'll go that they're doing well.
A company tried the 4-Day Work Week to test it, and it was a huge success.
Yeah.
More productivity, less stress. People were happier. They lost less employees, and they their productivity went up 20%.
Is that stateside?
This was in New Zealand.
Yeah, usually a lot of those studies happen there. And like I said, man, because, and then you got, that's the, I do think that is the best, a 4-day work week. It makes sense.
What company in the United States of America could do that, and they would be the trendsetter? They would. What company do you think could do that to the point where it would be, everybody would be like, you know what, this is something that, because Carlos is right. Everywhere else in the world, this has been looked at. Germany does it.
Yeah, the CEO of this company says this is an idea whose time has come. We need to get more companies to give it a try. They'll be surprised at the improvement of the company. Everyone's happier. The staff is better, and they're a wider open community. They work together better. It, you know, they just have more to look forward to on the weekend.
I think Netflix runs by the rule of there is unlimited personal days. There is these giant companies who have the bandwidth, the money, the capital, can try these things. I'm pretty sure Netflix runs by the rule of like, hey, look, man, you don't even have to say what you're taking them for, and it's unlimited. It gives people.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you got the other extreme, which is Japanese businessmen. Or Chinese workers, where they live by the, they promote things saying 60-40.
Yeah.
Which is you only work for this company 60 hours a week. Come work with us.
Mm.
That's their pitch. And then that's why you literally see in Japan businessmen lying in the streets from exhaustion.
Yeah. Right.
So those
high suicide rates.
Yeah, high suicide rates. We're somewhere like towards them, but like maybe in the middle. But hopefully a 4-day work week would make people a lot
nicer. And
that
doesn't mean like these businesses close for 3 days. It means that employees, you know, the max that your work week is going to be is 4 days. And then you got another set of employees that are keeping the doors open.
Yeah, yep. Right, right. Yeah. They're not closed down on Friday or something like that. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. Because when I talk to my friends who just have your standard 9-to-5, like we work, like everything we do for this 5 hours, we're straight through working, talking, doing show stuff. But my friends say most of their job is sort of nothing, staring off into space, looking busy, and they could get all of their work done in 4 days if they really needed to.
Well, and this is not just the 5 hours people hear on the air.
It's
funny you should say that because Texas reminded us. We know somebody that did a year of a 4-day work week.
Who? Oh, Jim Phillips.
Mr. Phillips.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
and he seemed really happy last year.
That's true, yeah.
It does seem to make sense because like to fill up an entire day for real, like over 5 days and a lot of stuff, it just doesn't seem to work, and you just end up doing busy work. Or
I'll have a lot of time to build tables.
Mm-hmm.
Table time.
Oh man!
Well, most jobs are retail. You know, the majority of jobs in this country are retail jobs: Walgreens, Target, this, that, that. And you look and like, unless it's busy, they're either zoning on that phone.
Oh man! I used to work at retail and at a Sports Authority, and I would they had a space in between the shelves, like there's shelves, but you could backstock.
Oh yeah,
nap. I would just straight up nap.
Are you kidding me?
I did that when I worked at
absolutely.
When I sold slicers at Kmart, I went in the back and napped behind some BMX bikes.
There was
bikes.
Literally nothing to do, and if I wasn't taking that nap and kind of hiding, I was just sort of positioning the boxes so they were a little bit more straight, but there was nothing else to do.
So we talked earlier, Russ, about the bus drivers, you know, being replaced.
Yeah, in Lake Nona, they're going to have the autonomous buses there, yeah.
So it's drivers first. This is what the researchers, futurists, and all the super smart people say. Drivers are going to be gone first by autonomy and AI, and then retail jobs. And so 4-day work week, if you want your employees to be happy, that's something that a lot of companies should be instilling.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it worked in New Zealand. coming up in a couple minutes, we're going to do the Monster Sports. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
On Facebook is embarrassing.
It'll tell you which Muppet baby you would be.
Seriously.
If you were a Muppet baby.
We're doing this because we feel bad for you.
Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
Radio. Radio. Radio.
I know what I'm wearing on Saturday.
On the wheels of steel, he is.
Hey, welcome to Monty's Morning Drill Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. You want to check us out on our YouTube channel. It's Real Radio Monsters on YouTube. That's Real Radio Monsters on YouTube. And now it's time for Monster Sports. And our special guest, we've got Mike Waddell from the Orlando Apollos here with us. And I got a jersey.
The undefeated Orlando Apollos.
The undefeated Orlando Apollos. And looking good, man. Looking good this weekend. Yeah. And now 2-0.
Comeback, right? This weekend?
Absolutely. Twice down 12.
I follow your feed, Michael. I love your Twitter feed. And you, a lot of great information, especially with some recent news that was out there. I've checked out that article.
Yeah. People are asking about that. So
a quarter. You know what? Yesterday morning.
Yeah.
You guys get here at what time?
Oh, I get here at 5.
And Andrew, you get here at like
5:30. 5:20. Okay.
So you guys get here pretty early. At 6 o'clock yesterday, I woke up. And I got an email saying, we got $250 million. That's a pretty nice day.
Yeah.
I'd never gotten $250 million in a day. But, you know, it's a great thing for the Alliance to be able to bring on a brand new investor who's going to be our chairman, a proven
sports owner,
a guy that has made billions of dollars. And when he invests after 2 weeks, really after 1 week, is when they had the discussion. That's a great deal for the Alliance of American Football. We're excited about that.
The speculation was that, you know, things weren't going well. The speculation was, you know, they couldn't pay the payroll, from what that article said.
And from all the people who were absolutely not connected with us in any one way. So imagine that perhaps there might be, you know, some jumping to conclusions. It reminds me of that scene out of Office Space, the jump to conclusions, Matt. That's exactly what we had going on there. But we're excited. We're back in action this Saturday night. Gonna beat up on Memphis. That's why I brought in the belt.
Yeah.
Because you got the Ric Flair belt with you.
Because the people from Memphis, they think that they're the king.
Yeah.
They had Elvis. They have, I guess, Jerry Lawler, but they don't have a football team. Right. We have a football team in Orlando.
Yeah.
Orlando are the champs. We're right here. We have Russ Rollins.
Right. Well, there you go. You got that.
He's number one.
That's right. We got 2 wins under our belt, and then this coming week we're playing the Memphis Express. Now that's the team that when we do the flyaway, that's where we're flying. So we want to beat them twice. Sure.
It's going to happen. It's really now a question of how much, because it really comes down to this. It's that age-old thing from the autumn that now makes its way into the winter and the early spring. It's that Florida football is infinitely better than Tennessee football.
Oh, of course.
And the better part about this is we have a Tennessee native, Johnson City, Science Hill High School native, Steve Spurrier, as our coach. He says, I rebuke thee, Tennessee. I will come. I will come to Florida and be with real football people.
So since the first game, and everything went really, really well for the first game, but have there been any changes as far as what people will expect, you know, to go to the game? Because now I got a lot of people interested in going, but the first game, they were like, hey, I'll go check it out, some of them. But now it's like, oh, wait, this is kind of cool. They're winning. So now people are going. Are there any changes from the first game?
We have empowered DJ Angel to do more during the game.
Okay.
And he is excited because he was kind of like, you don't want to show your whole playbook. You don't want to show it in first game.
Right.
But now we have the secret weapon over here.
But now, where's the Angel Boom going to be? Because I know the last time he was up somewhere we couldn't see him. Is he going to be down in the front where he can party with us? Or is he going to be up in the stand? Where is he going to be?
I know that we had a conversation yesterday. So that is actively, as we speak, being sorted out. The plan is to have me set up in front of the monster
section.
That
would be really cool. And that would make sense. But can you make that happen? I guess it's just connections and stuff. But
As far as that stuff. Spectrum
like
Stadium.
Logistically
being able to do it, they've done it in the past.
Okay.
So it's just a question of getting me set up and getting the right.
That makes more sense. You go to Magic Games, you got D Strong out there, you go to other stuff. It's part of the
other football leagues that I've done it. I was kind of set up that way.
That'd be cool.
In horseman terms, he's the J.J. Dillon. He is the James J. Dillon.
right. So, okay. Drinks, that was not a problem. Easy to get a drink. Tailgating, that was not a problem. That was I can't think of any other thing.
Parking's great. You can park for free in deck C and D.
Yeah.
So there's no problem parking.
Yeah.
If you want to tailgate, call us up
at the Orlando Apollos, or go to OrlandoApollos.com. Follow the instructions right there. Just give us a ring. And if you want to sit in the Monsters section, it's MonstersEndZone.com.
MonstersEndZone.com. We're going to try to come up with some cheers, right? That was one of the things that we're going to work on.
That's what we're working on. We've been encouraging everybody to bring in their signs, their banners.
Sun and Gun is good.
And then we're going to do Sun and Gun.
Yeah.
That's one of them, and then we got a couple other ones that we're working on.
So,
world's tallest cheerleader.
what have been some of the other things that you've had to deal with this week, Mike?
Well, you know, just trying to manage, you know, a football business operation. You want to make sure that all of our fans are really taken care of. Last night we had a big Meet the Team event at the Ace Cafe in downtown Orlando, and our fans came out, and they are absolutely spectacular. The way that our players interact with the fans, but we do hear from time to time, you know, somebody, well, my seat wasn't what I thought it was going to be,
okay,
or I didn't like this, and we like solving problems, and that's why, you know, I put my cell number on my business cards. I want people to call me. Mike, and they are doing that, and we are solving problems.
Mike Waddell here from the Orlando Apollos. Now, are there any injuries from last week that we need to worry about?
A lot of the texting that is coming in right now is just an update if we could get one on Ryan Davis Sr.
Yeah. Ryan's great. I sat at the front of the plane along with the general manager and head coach Steve Spurrier and Steve's wife, Jerry. And he was right there with us. He has a neck brace on. Went through some tests this week. Don't think he'll be active this week. But, you know, stay tuned to OrlandoApollos.com and also our social accounts. And we'll have a message from him. But he's already tweeting. He's fine. He had movement in all extremities. They're just very careful. And that's the one thing that we really like about the Alliance of American Football. Everybody extra careful when it comes to player safety.
What was the score of the last game?
It was 37-29.
37-29.
It was a pick six that sealed the deal. And he ended up being the defensive player of the week.
Yeah, and I was talking to Bianchi coming over here. And I tell you, I mean, we've not scored in the first quarter in each one of the first two games. In fact, we're 3-and-out in the first quarter.
Right.
We are not a first quarter team. We are not getting out of bed and looking to make a lot of impact so far.
So far, two games.
But then we come back and we score the most points each week in the Alliance. In only three quarters.
And who do you credit that to? Is it the coaching? Do you think it's the quarterback? Do you think it's who do you give that credit to?
Monsters in the Morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the world's best fans. But no, it's a combination. Gary Gilbert, I think, is by far and away the best quarterback in this league. I think we have an outstanding receiving
player of the week.
Absolutely. And
best
defensive
coach.
Player of the week. But the best coaching staff and the best player personnel. You can't put – nobody ever knows the names of the player personnel and the general manager, but they're the ones that go out and find this talent. They're the ones that set the roster. The coaches coach them. But Tim Ruskell and Josh Hinch, Thad Rivers, they do a great job in putting the best talent out there for Orlando and making a team that everybody here in Florida can be very proud of.
By the way, people texting, oh, don't be pussies, ask him about the investor. It's the first thing we talked about.
$250 million.
Yeah, the investor is a guy from Carolina, right?
Tom Dunnan. And here's what it is. If you know anything about startups, if you don't, here's a fun thing. Google startups. How do they get funded? And it's right there, great articles in USA Today and Forbes in the Orlando Sentinel that will talk about all those details and have quotes from the people who are directly involved in that.
Mike, if the league was doing crappy, right, you know, if the first 2 weeks you're looking like, things are not doing good, then that would make sense, this infusion of cash to save the league. But this was, like you said, the startup started, they're like, whoa. This thing's taken off.
Great investment.
I'm going to get in here, and he's done it before, and that really made me feel good. That Charlie Ebersole dude, he knows what he's doing.
He's smart, and billionaires don't invest in bad things.
Exactly, so especially $250 million.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, Angel.
All right, so a couple things, obviously, now that people are paying attention. And first things first. When it comes to getting Apollo swag, I know that we have a couple stores here locally. The Dick's have been really good about trying to keep it. But I know firsthand where they've put out a rack of Apollo's gear, and it's gone within a couple hours.
We're doubling up.
I know that you guys are trying to get that stuff out there as quickly as you can. But is it going to be all Dick's Sporting Goods, or is it just a couple of them?
Dick's Sporting Goods for right now,
okay.
Non-game day. And then at game day, we will double up our efforts this week with Aramark, who's our provider.
And then I don't know.
I love these jerseys. These jerseys are cool.
Yeah, they are cool.
If you were the person to ask about this, but the other story that broke this morning in regards to the players having to practice in Georgia for right now because of...
workers' comp insurance.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, again, we're a startup. We have to establish ourselves. Hopefully, that'll all be taken care of for 2020. And, you know, we're making plans for that right now. But, you know, it's one of those things that you improvise, you adapt, you overcome. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I don't worry about our players. They are focused. They are going right there. I mean, not a lot of people are coming out to practice anyway.
Anyway,
it's
right?
more an inconvenience on the players than anything else, and they're hyped up and ready to go.
So they have to practice in Georgia because of a workman's comp issue?
Workman's comp issue, but you know they're living in Jacksonville. They go over the line. They practice in Georgia. They come back for the games. It's no big deal. I mean, no practices are not open to the public anyway.
Right.
And they'll be back for the last 2 weeks of the season and be taking up residence over there at Camping World Stadium again.
Okay.
Where they are this week.
Yes, Ryan, question four.
Yeah. I love the gear, man, especially the jersey. Now, with the jersey Russ is wearing, do all the jerseys already come with all that padding inside them?
Yeah.
Like he's wearing right now?
You know, he had to work hard for that. When you are a stud,
when
you are a monster, Ryan.
When you finally have a chest, you'll know what it's like.
Hey, you know what?
He called you scrawny. Well,
you got a wispy shirt on, and it's a medium.
All of your chest hair went to your face.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, migrates.
But is that glued on? I'm just picking.
Mike Waddell, what are you looking forward to for this second game?
I mean, points.
Yeah.
Points. First quarter points, second quarter points, halftime. Nice performance. We have the Frisbee Dogs coming out.
Oh, I love the Frisbee Dogs.
We have a high school band that's going to be out there from Georgia, actually, from Cook County, Georgia. But then points in the third quarter, and then points again in the fourth quarter. We look to make it a clean sweep. We're going to score.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to punish people with the freaks and large athletes out there. That's what I love. Our defense, punishers. Our offense, punishers. We've scored. Fourth quarter pick sixes in each of the first two games. That's a streak now.
Damn.
Where do you watch the game? Like, are you walking around the whole time?
He's busy.
You're busy,
so,
right?
I'll put it like this. I do share a box with our general manager, Tim Ruskell.
Yeah.
Tim and I are out. I literally got to the box at the 9:42 mark of the fourth quarter. I woofed down some macaroni and cheese, and then
dog.
I was out at the 7-minute mark. I had my hot dogs
before
at home
the game.
4 hours before the
game.
Exactly,
I saw that.
Always.
They got good hot dogs.
But they do. But,
he has a whole ritual with it. You have a whole ritual.
But my dad, this is a good story. I started going to football games when I was 9 months old. My dad used me as a Crown Royal smuggler.
Yeah.
He would like put it under my back. So I have a curvature in my back that manages the contour of a Crown Royal. But my first solid food was a hot dog mashed up with Crown Royal to make me go to sleep. But the only condiment I've ever had on a hot dog, is Crown Royal.
Oh.
So I don't do that anymore. But I just eat hot dogs dry because my dad would get mad at me going to games and I'd get mustard or ketchup on me.
Right.
He said, you're never having that again. Eat it dry.
Yeah, so, I saw your picture you posted. It was a cute little heartwarming story.
Two dogs and a watered-down Coke.
There you go.
Coke at flight.
Also, have you considered renaming your dog to Steve Furrier?
That's good. Ooh. I don't have dogs. I have three cats.
Steve Furrier.
You're that wasn't you on Twitter?
Oh, I like cats.
Wow.
Mike, what's the local deal to watch the game on television?
We're with TV 27.
Okay.
Excited about that. We're going to announce some fun things coming up with that here in a few weeks. Every one of our games is on TV this week on the NFL Network.
Okay.
NFL Network. NFL Network. 104.1 radio. Four stations up in Ocala and Gainesville.
God.
And worldwide on NFL Radio, Sirius XM Channel 88.
Nice.
So, you know, even if you're in Oahu, you can listen to us.
Wonder why the guy invested.
Hey, Mike, we need to take a little bit of break. Can you stick around for the
afternoon? Absolutely.
We'll
love it here.
We'll do more of the Monster Sports when we come back. Remember, get your tickets by going to monstersendzone.com. That's monstersendzone.com. You want to party with us at the tailgate party. You want to come out. This will be the second game. Weather's going to be perfect. We don't have to wear togas this time.
Oh, but you can.
Yeah. Okay.
The million-dollar question that's blowing up text. Thing you can hit us up at 77031 and you come back from the break and find out, is Russ's jersey tucked in?
I'll tell you that when we come back. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, thank you for checking us out on our YouTube channel. It's Real Radio Monsters on YouTube. If you can't find it, just go to monsters.fm. You can click right through. You'll see it. And our special guest today, Mike Waddell from the Orlando Apollos, from your Orlando Apollos that are undefeated. And two wins. Next game is Saturday. Tailgate party starts about 4. Angel will be there in a big stage. It's really cool. We've got a great area. I had some people go, I couldn't find you guys. I don't know how you couldn't find us. We had the big Real Radio blow up. We had a big stage for Angel. Yeah. Monsters everywhere. I mean, they really did an incredible job. The only little bit, okay, we're going to critique little things. The only little critique would be the signs that were pointing to the monster party. Yeah. they were in, the arrows were in black and they were on a blue background.
Dark blue background.
So
yeah.
Drunk people couldn't see them.
Or Russ.
Or me, but that's the only, that's a little.
I didn't know there were arrows on that sign. I couldn't see me.
Yeah, it kind of blended in. But anyway, you can find us very easily. One of the questions was, I love it, new Apollo's jersey. Am I tucking it in? No, I'm too fat to tuck it in. If I'm skinny, when I'm skinny, Russ, I'll tuck it in every single day. Not, I can't do it now.
Really? You're Russ, a tucker.
Yeah, I'll tuck it. I'll tuck everything in when I'm skinny.
Russ has a song. It's called Too Fat to Tuck.
I'm too fat to tuck right now.
Too cold to hold. You call the Ghostbusters and you ain't control.
No, I'm not tucking today. But if I was 220, I'd be tucking it right now. So what else going with Monster Sports, Angel?
We're going to hit a bunch of random little things today because we're still in the All-Star break with the NBA. NBA doesn't start up until Thursday, Friday. Oh, the Orlando Magic, let's say, start Friday. They're back from the All-Star break on Friday. They'll play the Chicago Bulls here at home.
Yeah.
So NBA still...
And you can listen to that game here on Real Radio 104.1. It'll be broadcast live on Real Radio, 7 o'clock. Orlando Magic take on the Chicago Bulls right here on Real Radio.
We're like the sports station now, man. We got every single major team on our station. Take that, sports station!
Moses is flirting with his strip club DJ voice. He just
you
did
like
it.
That? man. That's it. That's Mr. Motivation.
We got the Orlando Apollos, we have the Orlando Magic, and we've got the Orlando City.
Here's a little interesting tidbit I want to share with you guys and see if you guys can come up with this. And then it's all NBA, this first portion of it. There are two players in Sports Illustrated history. There's three players, but there's two players that we are familiar with that they made the cover of Sports Illustrated within 2 weeks, like consecutive weeks on the cover. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
There's two guys that have done that.
Okay.
If you guys want,
Michael Jordan
is one of them,
and
Michael Phelps.
No. We're NBA guys.
NBA. Okay. Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal.
Michael Jordan and Dirk Nowitzki.
Who's
Dirk? He's the big guy from the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Dirk, one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah. He's definitely going to be in the top. He's first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to go down as one of the greatest.
Changed the game, really.
Yeah. Big man, absolutely. There's one other guy that has accomplished this feat because he did something today against somebody and then made this crazy hysteria, NBA guy, and he made the cover 2 weeks in a row.
Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin.
Ah.
Jeremy Lin, the nice. Beginning of...
The guy that was...
Linsanity,
yeah.
All right, so on this day, do you guys remember how many points he dropped on Kobe?
47?
38.
Yeah.
On Kobe Bryant in Madison Square Garden, drops 38 on him, and basically solidifies his NBA career for the next 10 years.
I had my little Facebook memories pop up, and I was scrolling kind of down, and one of them was a post talking about Jeremy Lin, and the fun it was to
that
watch
that.
That was
a really insane couple weeks.
My God, it was so much fun to watch, and I like Jeremy a lot. He's such a perfect example of hard work and dedication, and my guess is going to be Jeremy Lin, because I do remember around
7 years
that time,
ago today, fresh off of dropping 38 points at Madison Square Garden on Kobe and the Lakers, Jeremy Lin makes his first cover, and it's him driving in the middle of the Lakers, and there's Kobe and everybody, and then a week later, it's Jeremy's world, and then he's got his fist pumped up fence there, and then
Boston?
No, he ended up being a Knicks player.
Knicks,
he was.
It was the perfect team for the guy. It was
and
everything.
It was only great for, what do you think, Michael?
A month? It was this amazing
now he's in Toronto,
month.
Right?
I think so, yeah.
He's trying to sign with the team to win, and he's a good piece for
He's
any
a journeyman
team.
Now, but at that moment, for that month, he was the Lynn hottest.
Sanity. Yeah.
Went to Harvard, super smart guy, was sleeping on somebody's couch. He was the biggest name in the world, literally sleeping on one of his buddy's couches.
Yeah.
Because he just barely under the wire made it. And ultimately, he said it was all mentality.
Wasn't he was very Tim Tebow-like, too? He was like a religious guy?
There was some religious. He's very Christian.
Yeah.
But he said it was a mentality. That should go for anybody. Listen to that, man. A mentality was all it was to change it. And a lot of professional athletes say that. They go, once you arrive and they accept you, you can play so much better. Because everybody's talented, you know?
Today is for two fan bases. It's one of those days that they mark on their calendar, and it's one of the few things that still is important in college basketball. One of the few matchups that still is must-see TV.
We were just talking about it.
One of the few matchups that the networks still pay attention to. It's still a headline.
Rivals Boston, New York.
It's on par with that, and today's the day. You've got number one, the Duke Blue Devils.
Are they number one or number two now?
As of right now, I'm looking at this. They're number one. North Carolina Tar Heels are going to visit the Duke Blue Devils there, and that game is tonight at 9 o'clock, and it's going to be – we're going to get to Zion Williams – because this is the matchup that those fan bases care about. As long as they beat, you know, if you're a Duke fan, as long as you beat North Carolina and you go a playoff run, you're going to be all right.
You can upset somebody in here.
If you're a North Carolina Tar Heels fan, as long as you handle Duke, because they're always, you know, they're a garbage team anyway, and Tar Heels get to the championship, you're going to be all right.
Look, I was on the Tar Heel Sports Network as a play-by-play guy from 91 through 94.
Really?
I've got a national championship ring. From 1993. Thank you, Chris Webber. Wow. I appreciate that. He was in Chapel Hill this past weekend before we went to San Antonio with my women's championship team from 94. Here's the thing. They're playing at Cameron Indoor tonight, but the season doesn't start in North Carolina. Nobody cares about playing Clemson or Georgia Tech or Boston College or any of these. The season starts when you have your first Duke game. Yeah. So they'll play tonight, February 20th, right? Is this 20th or 21st?
Yeah. 20th.
They'll play again in 3 weeks in Chapel Hill. So it's kind of like an NBA series. It's best out of three.
It's true
because they're going to play again in the ACC tournament.
Right.
But they've never played in the NCAA tournament in all those years.
Wow.
This is not Carolina's best team. They're enigmatic. This is Duke all the way. And I don't. What's the line tonight?
I haven't even had a chance to look that up yet. But here's the thing. This is two of the most storied fan bases in college basketball.
No doubt.
Two of the most passionate. So it's always exciting when these two teams match up. I know that North Carolina, the Tar Heels, are, you know, as far as talent goes, might not be there. But that's not going to stop them from trying to bring the heat.
And for those novice basketball fans or college basketball fans, to watch Zion Williamson is to watch the next LeBron James.
He's something.
You know, LeBron's going to be in the audience.
See, like, he's going to watch Zion.
Boy.
Zion is a better player than LeBron James was at his age.
He plays for Duke. Really?
And he plays for Duke. And he played for Duke on the last second whim. He was going to be in Clemson.
He deflated a ball the other day. He grabbed a ball, and you could actually see his fingers
compressing the ball.
Brady was like, how do you do that?
This is how crazy and popular this game is. And Texas are right, and I had the part of the story as well. The tickets for this game, for tonight's game, they're rivaling the prices for the Super Bowl tickets.
I believe it, man. Yeah,
and there are fewer of them because Cameron Indoor only sees about 8,500.
That's nothing.
8,500. It's like a small college gym. I mean, it's a tiny little
box. So you went there and you broadcast. Is it as loud as they say it is?
Worse. And here's what makes it worse. At most places, you broadcast from the floor. At Cameron Indoor, the radio and TV broadcasters are not on the floor. They're up in the rafters, literally. Your head, as close as my face is to this mic, is how close, I mean, it's like this. is how close the giant halogen lights are to your head.
Oh, wow.
So the people who have been there years, you're thinking we're gonna pay for this one day. I mean, you shouldn't have that much radiation, but it's so loud. And there are two places that I broadcast games that were absolutely nuts: Cameron Indoor Stadium and Allen Fieldhouse at Kansas.
Kansas, the most
incredible places, along with what used to be at North Carolina, where they mooned in 86 to the Dean Dome. They lost their home court advantage. When Carolina played in Carmichael, it sat 10,000 people, and that was back when it was Ralph Sampson and the Virginia teams in the early 80s.
Yeah, rabid fan bases. They're just crazy.
NC State, when they had David Thompson, the old Denver Nugget slam dunk champion before Dr. J. I mean, those were the times at Carolina. But, man, Duke. They got this tonight.
How many years did you do that? How many years were you at?
3 years at Carolina, 3 years Virginia, 3 years at Appalachian State.
And you did play-by-play.
Yeah, and then my last year was at WABC in New York with the Army Black Knights.
That is a skill to have.
It's a talent and an art,
Do you miss doing that?
If I could get by with it, the last program director I had tried to change my name to Mike Modem. And
why?
Because he was that guy.
Yeah,
and, you know,
Mike Modem.
It's pig vomit. yeah. you know, out yeah. of the Howard Stern movie. Yeah. And I just said, you know, I'm done with this, and went into administration after that. But it was fun. And if you, I mean, if Jamie Say ever, like, comes down with, like, a virus and can't do a game, I'm going to, me, I want to do it.
But she's great, though.
She is incredible. She's Rini, great. Jamie, Jerry, I mean, and Frank, the engineer. Hey, man.
You love Frank. I do. Yeah, I love Frank.
I mean, look what he does.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, and he does it with such little stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
By the way, you can hear the game this coming Saturday. You know, you can hear it on Real Radio 104.1 Saturday at 8 o'clock. But we want you to be at the game.
Absolutely.
By getting your tickets at MonstersEndZone.com. Yes.
Wrap it up real quick with a couple of big headlines. So Manny Machado, a lot of people didn't think that this was going to be able to happen. A lot of people thought that the 10-year contract in baseball was gone. He proved that. No, the Padres reportedly have agreed to a historic 10-year, $300 million contract for Manny Machado.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's good weather. And I mean, who's played for the Padres since Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn's it. Steve Garvey after he was a Dodger. But
you know who's just sitting there in the wings waiting?
Oh.
Bryce.
Oh, Bryce Harper.
That's the next
one. The Yankees, baby. Yeah. Be a
and
champion.
Then Orlando City fans, tonight there's a scrimmage or a practice game, and it's a friendly, and it's open to everybody. So if you want to go down and catch the match, feel free to go down there and catch that. And I think that's at 7:30.
Go purple.
Yep, and that's Monster Sports.
Mike Waddell, we look forward to seeing you this Saturday. You know, everything is looking good. I don't know, like, I wish we had something to bitch about or complain about, but we don't. We're going for win number 3. I just say get your tickets, join us at the tailgate party, and we'll all have a great time. Thank you for the jersey. So jerseys and all your Apollo's gear available all over town now, right?
Oh, it's going to be at Dick's Sporting Goods and also at the games. The mantra for the weekend, come early, be loud, stay late, wear orange.
There we go. All right, perfect. All right, thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning.
iHeartRadio is the easy-to-use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app today.
Radio 104.1 broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes, and it's on Wednesday, and we get to see Karina from Real Music Weekends today.
What's up?
Hey, girl, what's up?
I'm hanging out.
You look good, girl. You're on point. You got the lipstick.
Thank you. I got the Fenty Beauty.
Oh, I knew it was a different shade.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What is happening?
What's the shade? What?
Tell them about it, girl.
Let me tell you, Rihanna just dropped some brand new lipsticks, y'all, just in time for a birthday, an anniversary.
I like all her little self-tutorial, Rihanna.
Yeah, man.
Hey, go get it, Fenty.
Yep, thank you.
Huh.
How do you go from the most manly of sports talk to, like, Rihanna just dropped some new lipsticks?
I'm a walking dichotomy.
Yeah, man. It's impressive. Either way.
So what's going on in your world, Karina?
There's a lot of things going on
on
the internet.
Oh, on the internet stuff?
It's like yesterday, I think the internet kind of just exploded.
Are
you a Hollywood Unlocked girl?
Hollywood Unlocked?
Oh, you don't know about that?
Oh, yes. I found out about Hollywood Unlocked yesterday.
Yes! What is that?
I think it's like an Instagram where
it's a guy. Yeah, it's a dude who he's kind of created a persona. I don't know his name or whatever, but he seems to have the inside tip on Hollywood, and a lot of the celebrities follow him, and he broke the Khloe news last night, and Khloe even responded to this guy on his page. I don't know. He's very bold, really big, kind of brown gay dude, very funny, and will call people out. But he seems
1.4 million followers.
Yeah, so, there you go. Yeah.
So he broke the news that Tristan Thompson had cheated on Khloe Kardashian, his baby mama.
Okay.
On Khloe's sister,
Kylie's best friend.
This is all, like, interconnected.
Tristan is a piece of crap.
He's trash. No,
he's a rapper, right?
No, he's an NBA player.
He's a world champion NBA player.
Yeah.
But it does kind of sound like he'd be a rapper, Tristan Thompson.
I didn't know. I'm sorry. The reason I say that, why did you say
nuclear physicist?
I was watching.
Why did you go straight rapper?
Because I was watching the Grammys the other day, and Mary Ellen said, oh, I think that's the guy that's dating a Kardashian. And I'm like, oh.
That
like,
was Travis Scott.
Okay. That's
who's,
what,
who's, hey, Wiz, yeah.
Who's Kylie's baby daddy.
Oh, and how's that going?
I don't keep up with the Kardashians. Sorry.
I don't even
the whole point
know.
Of it.
Yeah.
They seem to date the people that you shouldn't date. You know, rappers, athletes, and musicians.
I would date Kanye West had he, you know, been... I think mentally, okay.
Kim and Kanye seem to have the only real relationship out of the Kardashians.
Do you think so?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think they connect on a weird level and they seem to be working on it. But the Tristan and Khloe thing or whatever, you know, she was with Lamar. And then you got Travis Scott. It's just all these dudes are surrounded by women and pee all the time.
But listen, I think I saw the Hollywood Unlocked post on Instagram and Khloe commented.
Yeah.
Allegedly, I think it was Photoshopped.
You
I don't believe. I don't believe this story for a second, though.
What story?
The story about Khloe and Tristan and her friend Jordan. I don't believe any of that garbage. I think it's just a ploy
to get
for their
to...
show. Yep. Because who's going to watch? Yeah, it's coming back.
When?
I don't even know, but I know it's coming back. It's coming back like next month.
I don't know. I mean,
I just like to believe all Tristans are good people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You look like a Tristan.
Yeah, totally.
Everyone says you look just like a Tristan.
And Tristans are horrible.
How many seasons has the Kardashians been running
season
now?
Season 16 is coming up.
Oh, my God.
Is coming up.
She's built, Chris.
That's ridiculous.
Kris Jenner has built a, what, $4 billion empire? You know?
I want her to adopt me because I mean, I'm a part of that coin.
What network is it on?
E.
That's their thing now, huh?
Right. And then Kylie Jenner came out this week, said she is actually self-made.
Yeah.
She said that because she, you know how when the Forbes article came out and they called her like the first self-made billionaire to be 21 years old?
Right.
She's like, I actually am self-made because they cut me off at 15. You're not self-made.
No, why is she not self-made?
I don't think she's self-made because she had a platform already. That's how I'm seeing it.
Right. Okay. I guess that's the definition of self-made is what has to be agreed upon because, I mean, who is self-made? Every single person who has made money at those levels has teams behind them, has, you know, so.
I think what she's saying, though, is, for example, she's got that, she had the platform, she had the mechanism in place.
Right.
When Steve Jobs came out with Apple, Apple didn't exist. He had to create his platform.
Right.
When some of these other guys. So it's not.
And then you got Wozniak.
And you're not comparing apples to apples either.
Right.
You know, and so that's also an unfair comparison. You know, so, you know, she's going to take it. She's going to take advantage of what she has in front of her. That's you can't not
hate
her.
Yeah.
Help me understand why anytime I even hear the word Kardashian, I just hate
you
the
cringe.
Whole thing. I think it's the excess. The total excess. It's all they got so much money and so I don't know.
Kenny G for Valentine's
Day.
That's rubbing in the face of Kenny G. We can hire you, Kenny G.
And you'll
play your flute in the middle of a bunch of candles.
Play your little organ.
Love. How is a fan of love going to be mad at that kind of love? There's 1 million roses.
It's fake love. It's TV love.
You don't know.
The whole Kardashian thing just makes my stomach. I just can't stand them. Yeah.
Listen, I love them. And I know everyone hates that I love them.
I don't know.
I respect
Kris Jenner because she is working harder than the devil
every day.
Yep, every day getting these deals.
Yeah. I particularly am not like, I've never watched a full episode. My wife has watched it. I'll catch it every now and then. And it's not like anything that super interests me. But I respect them for what they've been able to build and do.
Absolutely.
I mean, Kim was Paris Hilton's assistant.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think you have some issues with strong women, Russ. You got Ellen. You got Oprah. You do. I mean, you hate that, Oprah does that.
And that is incorrect, sir.
I don't know, dude. You don't like the Kardashians.
You know
either?
Who I like? I like Sarah Gilbert, and she's a strong woman, and I like her.
See, I don't like the Kardashians because there's no reason in the world that I should know this much about their life.
Mm-hmm.
From not watching the TV shows, from not keeping up with them, I know a lot about the Kardashians, and that's bothersome.
I mean, it's because of social media. They're everywhere.
Yeah, so I feel like I don't want to like them ever.
Yeah.
Now because it's like a Justin Bieber song. I've never sought out a Justin Bieber song.
Right, right, right.
I could probably sing most of any
sure?
Justin Bieber song.
You've never looked up a Bieber song before in your life?
No.
Oh.
Positive.
But you hear them somehow throughout your life all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's a fair assessment.
Come on.
I'm not judging.
That Lil Sean and Justin Bieber song, that was a dope song. Come on.
Name a stronger woman than Cher. There you go.
Okay, well, you were mad at her for her concert.
Yeah. She babbled on.
What are you doing? You asked on her show just a couple weeks ago.
I just tell you how I feel.
But you don't know really anything about the Kardashians. You hate them.
No, the stuff I've seen, it's just like they're just rich for no reason, and it just seems like
they're not rich for no reason. That's your opinion. To say that they're rich for no reason is dismissing them. Is saying that they're stupid women. They don't deserve anything. They built that empire on their own. Yes, their dad was a successful lawyer, but had nothing to do with retail and makeup and social media and marketing.
But that's almost like assuming that if you don't like something, oh, you must be racist. It has nothing to do with strong women. It's just that if they were all guys, I would say, just like the people from the New Jersey Shore thing, I think they were ridiculous. I had nothing to do with being strong women. That's a wrong assessment. It's just like saying, oh, you don't like this guy, so you must be racist. No, not true. It's just they seem really rich for no reason, and all they do is just social media stuff, and it just doesn't seem
right. Have you watched their show?
I did for a little bit one time, and I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah. Like, this is stupid.
I hear it's coming to Reels.
No, that'll be good. I'd like that.
I think there's a strong woman that Russ would like.
Oh, there's a lot of strong women.
And her name is Tish Cyrus.
Who's Tish Cyrus?
She's the mother of Miley Cyrus.
And what's going on with her?
She got into some trouble because Billy Ray posted a picture of her in front of this like whole like huge safe.
Oh yeah.
And she opened it up, and it was like literally dozens of bags of, of the marijuana.
When you say dozens, you're really underselling.
What?
Okay, how many? How many count?
We're talking, you know how some people have the ability to own these awesome vaults in their house?
I want one.
So she's got one of these badass vaults.
Right.
And we're talking about garbage bags. We're not talking little dime bags.
Right, massive.
We're not talking QPs. We're talking garbage bags. Clear plastic garbage bags of marijuana.
And so she was getting heat
Miley,
on the
your
internet.
Mom is
so,
the coolest
yes,
already.
Right. Where are they? Are they in Tennessee or are they in...
Well, according to Tish, that wasn't even her house.
Whatever.
I think she's lying.
So what's the issue? Why can't she... If she's in California, she can have as much weed as she wants.
Because some people... Well, I think they're in Tennessee.
That would be an issue.
But but some people are mad because they're just like, my cousin was in prison from like season one of BoJack Horseman for an ounce.
One, two, three, four, that's the whole debacle, right?
You can't have that much. Unless you're a dispensary.
You need to look at the photo.
Whatever. You can't tell me how much I can have.
Angel, how much is in there?
We're talking, this is, from what I can tell, it's probably about less than 20 of big, giant, huge garbage
bags.
Like
garbage bags full?
Yeah, here's the thing, Russ. Weed don't go bad.
It doesn't? I thought it did.
Not really.
I thought it got skunky or something like that.
I found some years later, and it worked.
Oh. I did not know that.
It dries out like a rose.
Yeah,
it
dries out. It's nest potent.
It burns quicker.
It burns a little quicker. But, wow. You know, just like people go to Costco and stock up on taco shells.
Yeah.
If I lived in California, I may stock up for the summer.
Well, you can hear Karina on Real Music Weekends right here on Real Radio 104.1. And thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, anytime.
Yeah. Tonight, you got a show at the Improv, right?
Yeah, I'll be at the Orlando Improv.
I say you. That's Ryan Holmes.
Ryan Holmes. I'll be opening up for Brian Glowacki. It's a great show.
He's wacky,
get tickets for that show.
Brian Glowacki?
His name is Brian
Glowacki.
Oh, wacky.
Glowacki.
He's a comedian.
Also, I added Poking the Bear to the podcast list. So if you want to check out my podcast that I do with a friend of mine, check out Poking the Bear. Just look for the Monsters podcast on the iHeartMedia app.
Hey, don't think too much about your interview with Steve Martin and Martin Short today.
Oh, yeah. You got
at 3
that in
o'clock,
a couple
doing
hours,
it all by, 1 o'clock, doing it all by yourself. Don't think too much about it.
Under a crunch and time limit. Don't worry about the time.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Steve Martin, lovely to talk to you, and I can't wait to talk to you and Martin Short.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope you do it in that voice.
Angel, this weekend, of course, Friday nights. What the hell is Angel listening to? We'll be on it at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
right?
We're doing an abbreviated show, so it's going to be an hour long, and then definitely come hang out with us. Please come hang out with us at the tailgate party for the Apollos and have a good time with us.
Yes, that will be great. Carlos.
Yeah, check me out. To the Top is on monsters.fm. It's under the Monsters family. And then go to the Top Carlos on Instagram and message me there. You like the show? You like the stuff? I'll be there.
Hey, if you want to get a copy of my comic book I wrote with Jeff Kaufman, it's at BigCityComics.com. That's BigCityComics.com. Issue 2 is out now. That's the one that Carlos is in. You can get it if you go to BigCityComics.com. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. Then it's the Jim Colbert Show. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then Real Laughs. And we're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Ryan Holmes, Angel, Karina, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, man, Russ. The Kardashians are the greatest people in the world, Rollins.
Hey,
thank
you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Sure.
Your brother.
promise not to send pictures of our naked body. Unless, you know, you're into that kind of thing.
Facebook/Real Radio Orlando.
Making feminine hearts flutter.